This is the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page.
Brady takes the snap, looks, fires, ends up. Yeah! Touchdown! Aaron Hernandez, Tom Brady, pulls the fat out of the fire.
The pregame social is the world's largest virtual tailgate, featuring the fans of the three-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots.
And the Patriots are world champions again. Back to back. 3 out of 4. Yes, it's a dynasty.
Adam Jones, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart are here to do the grilling as your hosts. This week, the Patriots open the 2012 regular season in Tennessee against Jake Locker and the Titans.
Brady awaiting the shotgun snap on fourth down. He's got it. Back to throw. Looks. Fires. Caught. Touchdown. Rob Gronkowski.
Now, Adam, Paul, and Andy get you ready for the game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Patriots Nation, welcome to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
We welcome you inside the Patriots pregame social. Where is Adam this week, by the way? Where is he?
I think he had a wedding.
Yeah, his sister's getting married.
Well, I think that's big enough anyway.
Yeah.
Glad to be here. John Rook in for Adam this week with
Pat
Paul.
Girl is getting married.
She could have scheduled it for some week other than week one.
You would think, right?
No, preseason would have been a little bit more convenient.
Yeah, not a whole lot of advanced planning done here. Yeah. But, as we all know...
We're happy to step inside the playbook with John Rook.
Thank you. I was about to say, for those of you that may not be familiar. I hope that many of you are familiar.
Who doesn't know John Rook?
Yeah, well,
what
no.
Is it what did you call
exactly.
It, Andy? A PPGS?
That's another PPGS.
PPGS.
First down!
We host the playbook here on Patriots.com radio as well.
Sucky.
Thank you. 12 years.
You may have heard of Nitpick Wednesday. Is it Tuesday or Wednesday?
Nitpick Tuesday. Come on, get the franchise.
Where
right.
He tears apart team that generally goes 14-2, 16-0.
We know how to pick the nits, baby. And those who frequent
you're
the program on Tuesdays, they know how we pick the nits, right? Are there any nits to pick, at least before kickoff this afternoon in Tennessee? This is
kind of hard to pick a nit before you see any of the nits.
Oh, we've seen some nits.
It's really the great unknown. There are so many different things, I think, about this team that we don't know about that I guess we could probably just start with anyone.
Nate Solder.
I think, yeah, there you go. That's one. Offensive line was where I was going.
I would just start with Nate Solder.
Well.
Put it all on his shoulders.
You want to put it on his shoulders?
Everybody else will fall in line if he can play. If he can't play, no one else is going to fall in line. The only guy that's going to fall is Tom Brady. That's my only concern. Is he ready? And he gets a nice challenge, I think. This isn't DeMarcus Ware. This isn't truly elite, but Cameron Wembley is a
pretty good
veteran, experienced player who, you know, 8-9 sacks a year, every year pretty much, and probably knows how to get in the head of a young tackle and maybe do some things physically, mentally, to tweak a guy. So I think this is a solid first test that if Solder meets it, I think it's a good confidence builder. And if he doesn't, then next week when we're talking, I'll be even more worried about the left tackle.
Not even worried as well about either Connolly or Wendell or anybody else.
I think all that can be schemed, covered. I think Dante is a genius. Dante Scarnecchia, the O-line coach. I think the one thing you can't really scheme for is a left tackle. I think at some point you have to have a guy that can win some matchups on the edge. And for a decade, Patriots fans were spoiled, and I was one of them. I always used to nitpick, to use your phrase, Matt Light. There were games when he got owned by Jason Taylor.
He was a frequent nitpicker.
But on average, you knew what you were going to get. Dante knew the 2 or 3 games a year he'd circle as, keep Dan Graham in this week, and this week, and the other weeks will be okay. I'm not sure he knows what he's going to get with Nate Solder yet, and I think that's a dangerous game to play on the blind side there on that edge.
Dante Scarnecchia, the only person here who's been here longer than I have.
Wow.
Did you know that?
I did not know that.
That's true. True thing. True story. All right, so offensive line, Nate Solder on the left side. Right side, can Sebastian Vollmer stand up to the test of time? Because to me, you know, the tackles are, I agree with you, Andy, in fact, believe it or not, about the guards in the interior part of the line. The tackles are the iffy part right now because that's where the speed rush comes in. That's where the vulnerability obviously comes into your quarterback. If you don't protect, you've got big problems. Tom spends, you know, half of the game on his backside. The Patriots offense can't, you know, function like we think it's capable of functioning. So how about Vollmer as well?
Well, the Vollmer situation is a little different than Solder in that I think everybody feels like Vollmer can play. I mean, we've seen him go out there and play at a pretty high level. It's totally health related, right? With him, and that's a scary one. To me, it's in a lot of ways, it's a lot scarier than Solder, because you just never know when he's not going to physically be able to hold up. And if he can't, and we've seen some signs that have been worrisome already. I mean, he worked his way in slowly after starting camp on PUP, and I think it's dangerous to play that doctor role from the sideline, especially when you're not even a doctor to begin with. But he just looks really stiff. He looks like he's laboring to me. He looks a little bit stiff. And he what did he play, 6 games last year, Andy?
I believe so.
Along those lines. The odds of him being able to hold up with a significant back problem for that long, to me, are probably not very good. So that's something I worry about. But I would also throw in I'm a little bit more worried about the inside than I think that you two are, in that I feel like Tom handles the edge rush, unless it's just like blatant, like merry-go-round stuff that we saw in the preseason.
Right.
You know, I mean, if it's like that all year, then I don't care who you are. That's gonna affect you. But I think Tom sort of, not that he invites it, but I think he handles the edge pressure really well because he enjoys stepping up in the pocket. If it's not there to step up into, and I do have some concerns about Ryan Wendell being a little bit smaller, and lacking the experience that Copen had. Now, I think at this stage, he's probably as good, if not better, than Dan Copen physically.
Yep, right.
But I wonder if you lose a little something with the experience that he had, and even the experience that Conley had in replacing Copen last year. So it's not as big of an issue as the tackles. I think Andy's right with Nate Solder, because he needs to be the man. He needs to be the guy. The left tackle is sort of the linchpin of your offensive line, but I'm concerned in the middle as well.
Brady pitching a 10 back there.
I don't think we'll be saying that. Even if they perform better than we expect, I'm not sure there'll be any tent pitching at this point in the season.
You know, overall, though, Tennessee's pass rush last year
was terrible last year.
They were awful. So I guess the biggest question I have going into today is whether or not have they improved to where this is going to be a factor today, even against a Patriots offensive line that we know has questions.
Yeah, well, that's what they hope. And they did some work on it. Andy mentioned Cameron Wimbley,
yeah,
and that's
Wimbley,
one
right.
guy they brought in.
Right.
And they also want to sort of rotate a little bit. They want to really... they think that front four can be dangerous. Now, it showed some signs in the preseason. They were much improved. That third preseason game we happened to get a chance to get a look at because it was on ESPN against Arizona,
yeah.
which was kind of a sneak peek at the first two opponents that we're going to see this year. They had some significant pressure against Arizona. Now, I would caution, Arizona's offense, you think the Patriots offensive line has issues? Wait till you see next week what Arizona brings to town, because that is a really, really bad offensive line. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger, is the most well-protected man in football compared to what Arizona's going through, with their front five. So I don't know how much it was Tennessee dominating a bad line or how much improvement Tennessee has made, but they were all over Cobb and Skelton in that game. So we'll see if they can do it against the Patriots. That's going to be, to me, that's the only way that Tennessee's defense can be competitive against this offense, is if they just disrupt Tom Brady to the extent that they don't allow him to get the ball downfield.
All right, other issues then, guys, in addition to the offensive line, which is one of the focal points of the game, because the Patriots can't move the ball. If Brady can't have time to throw, Patriots offense won't be able to score. What else are we looking at primarily on the other side of the ball, let's say, for instance, and is the focal point trying to slow down and or stop Chris Johnson?
I think that's the focal point of the defense, and I think they'll do that. I have confidence in that. You know, even in the years when they've struggled defensively, Wilfork, Mayo, that run defense has generally been pretty consistent. They have new faces there. You know, they have new guys that need to prove themselves. Ninkovich is a left defensive end. I have doubts of him standing up to that type of pounding that he could get there with teams running at him. Mm-hmm. You know, Hightower has to prove himself, Jones. But to me, a lot like Solder on offense, it's Devin McCourty on defense. I think if Devin McCourty can prove he can play again, if he can get back to some semblance of his rookie form, I think the rest of that pass defense falls in line. If he can't, then I think there's a negative domino effect where you're still scrambling, you don't have a top corner, you don't feel like you can cover anyone. And, I mean, we've seen signs, I think, of both this preseason. I think we've seen signs of him getting beaten deep down the field. I thought Brandon Lloyd owned him early in training camp. And then I think we've seen signs of him kind of being around the football and being a little tighter there. But to me, those are the two guys. It's Solder on offense and it's McCourty on defense, because I don't think you have a backup to either. You don't have a backup plan. You don't have a number one corner just waiting in the wings. A guy, you know, it's not like you drafted a guy with the 10th overall pick that if McCourty's not good, we got our Revis. We got our shutdown corner. Mm-hmm. Now you're resorting to Kyle Arrington's our best corner or Rozai Dowling. You better be. I just think you're playing without a net with those two guys, and I think they have huge impacts.
I agree with Andy 100% on that. He's the key to the defense, and he talked about the run defense, and I agree with him. I think it's been pretty good. You know, a couple of exceptions here and there. They have some bad weeks. But
Denver, when they ran right at Rob Ninkovich. Ninkovich is playing defensive end again? Oh.
That was an exception to what I'm about to say. But generally, I think when they have a bad week on run defense, it's against the team that they didn't really expect to run the football very often. You know, when they go into a game knowing that the other team's bread and butter is, the, you know, like this one with Chris Johnson, they generally are up to the challenge. And I would expect them to be today. To me, the key is in the passing game with Locker. You know, he's making his first career start, and I think we overrate that a little bit. He played enough last year that he's been out there. I think he'll have some butterflies today because it's opening day, and you know all that goes along with it. But I feel like he's a pretty athletic guy who likes to get out of the pocket, and he is better actually in those circumstances. Sometimes he makes that 5-step drop in the pocket, and he looks like he really hasn't thrown it. And you probably are more familiar with Jake Locker than most because you've seen him a lot in college.
Exactly. I saw him in one of his very first starts, in fact, with Washington several years ago, and they were in the Carrier Dome to play Syracuse of all teams.
How did he do?
I mean, he can look terrific at times.
Was he good under pressure?
He actually was pretty
good.
How
did Chandler Jones? Chandler Jones gave me heat on him that day.
Chandler Jones, actually, I believe that was before Chandler was at Syracuse.
Oh, okay.
So we're talking a few years ago. But not too many years ago because they're both relative. Right. He's only, what, a year older?
Yeah.
So it was only a couple of years ago. But at any rate, he seemed to – I think the one thing that I was impressed the most about was is that he was never afraid to stick his nose probably where he shouldn't.
Right.
He's that kind of guy where he will take off and run and do what he needs to pick up the first down. And I think that's great. We've seen that from a lot of quarterbacks go away rather quickly in the NFL.
Yep.
But that may or may not help the Patriots today. I mean, he may do that a few times and be effective with it before someone, you know, wisens up and says, hey, you probably shouldn't do that. Try a foot first slide
right.
next time, you know?
Right.
So, who knows? That's the X factor to me. If he gets out of pocket, if he gets out of containment, that's where I think a guy like Locker can really do damage.
And we talked about that a little bit on PFW in Progress this week, that this is one of those games where Chandler Jones, who didn't get the chance when you saw him there,
yeah.
you know, it's one thing to just unleash Chandler Jones. They go out there, be a speed rusher, have fun. And we saw Michael Vick burn him with that. He got caught down inside. Michael Vick runs for 8 yards or whatever it was around him to the outside. I think they need to be a little bit more controlled today in that pass rush. And it's not the same as Vick because Locker's not a guy that's going to make his career running, but he certainly is fast enough, athletic
sure
enough to
yeah.
make you look pretty bad. And with a team that is concerned about its pass defense already, you don't want those defensive backs now thinking, well, and he might scramble. I got to be ready to come up and make that tackle too before he goes 20 yards. I got to stop him at 10. If their mind is there, now that hurts their coverage. Now all of a sudden, Locker takes advantage, a little pump fake, and it just all falls apart.
And how
you
about
let Locker athletically get going? That's not good for
in
you.
In an Andy scenario, how about a really dangerous situation where a linebacker is forced to make that decision,
yeah.
and it's Chris Johnson?
Yep.
You know, do I stay with Chris Johnson or do I make sure I get Locker? He flips a 3-yard pass and all of a sudden he goes 70 with it. Because let's face it, he is one of those special guys in this league that can do that.
And athletically, you look at them, none of it is really proven except for Chris Johnson. And even he has something to prove a little bit coming off last year. But athletically, they can embarrass you. They have a tight end who runs a 4.34 in
Jared Cook.
They have Kendall Wright, who is a versatile young receiver who was one of the best deep threats in college football last year.
I loved him coming out of the draft.
And so did the Patriots, by the way.
Yeah.
They have Jake Locker, who can beat you with his arm. He has a very strong arm and with his feet. And they have Chris Johnson, who can turn any snap into a 75, 80-yard touchdown run.
A lot of speed.
That is scary, I think, heading into a season.
And
when
a pretty good offensive line, too.
And against a defense that has a bunch of new starters or guys in new places that, you know, Steve Gregory, Dante Hightower, Chandler Jones, Rob Ninkovich, even Brandon Spikes, you know, what do they bring to the table? Are they all comfortable working together? Are there, quote, run fits where they need to be at this point in the season? And you always see big plays early in the year. And the Titans, I think, have the chance to make big plays everywhere across the field if you give them a seam. Because as you said, that speed on both sides of the ball actually is pretty scary.
They seem to have it. The expectations remain high for the Patriots based on what we know is coming back from a year ago and that the defense has allegedly, as you just alluded to, improved itself somewhat. But when you really take a good close look at what Tennessee might be capable of doing, why do we still feel like the Patriots are the team that shouldn't stumble today?
Because I have faith in the front. you know, as much as we talk about the young guys, to me, Spikes has shown that when he's on the field, when he's healthy, he's a game changer in the run. He is a physical, violent player, you know, 45 degrees either direction, coming forward, blowing people up. And when you start with a front that's consistent with the guys of Wilfork, Mayo, I'll even throw Kyle Love in there at this point when he's on the field as sort of a run stuffer, against a team that clearly wants Chris Johnson to be the focal point of the offense, clearly wants to choose to throw rather than be forced to throw, I give the Patriots that edge in that kind of a matchup.
Yeah.
And I also, as much as we say they have potential offensively, athletically, well, the Patriots now have more potential defensively, athletically, with Chandler Jones and Dante Hightower
Hope
and
so.
Some of these guys.
Yeah, and that's the thing I'm most excited about.
You match
about
athleticism
today.
With athleticism. Even Steve Gregory. To me, you're better with him on the field than with any of the safeties they rolled out there a year ago next to Patrick Chung. Any of the
we
guys.
We could do a whole show on
Hedebo. Any of those guys.
Think about that, John. All the guys that they rolled out there last year. Andy brings up a great point with safeties. I mean, Steve Gregory, I think we could do a whole show on how underrated he seems to be. Now, listen, we haven't played a regular season game yet. I'll pump the brakes there. I don't think he's an Ed Reed or Troy Polamalu type.
He doesn't have to be.
But he's an NFL safety they didn't have last year.
Just
they
don't
had
be
Patrick
Matthew
Chung
Slater.
For eight games, and that's it. They had special teams guys. They had cast-offs. They had offensive players. You know, listen,
they were laughable at safety last year.
This
laughable.
I think that's going to be the area that's going to be most eye-opening this year.
I think that was an area of nitpicking last year. Yes.
Oh, God, yeah. Well,
that wasn't even a nitpick.
That happens when you cut your most dependable player, James Sanders, at the end of the preseason.
Yeah, yeah. No
but,
kidding.
I mean, that was literally a position you could mock every week last year, whether it was Sergio Brown in Oakland when I was laughing at him. I've never seen a player play as poorly as he did in Oakland against Darren McFadden.
Except for maybe when he played against the Giants.
Except when he played later against the Giants and somehow just, you know, has no body awareness when he's playing safety.
And then had the audacity to look us in the eye and say he didn't think that was pass interference. That really bothered me.
Really?
But, I mean, that's at worst, Steve Gregory's a professional safety.
All right, let me ask you this then. Just, you know, with the new bodies back there, how much does the absence of Kenny Britt, who's out today suspended for the Titans, how much does that help the Patriots defensively? One less weapon to have to cover, one less speed guy to have to stay up with, or is it insignificant in your mind?
No, I think it's huge. I think that as much as we talked about Kendall Wright and what he could do,
yeah.
You know, now he's forced to be a starter and be a big part of their offense. Nate Washington's the guy on the other side. Now, he had a chance to sort of incorporate himself as the number one guy because Britt missed a lot of the season last year with a torn ACL. So, you know, Washington is he's a good receiver. He's not a great receiver. He's certainly not anything in the caliber of Kenny Britt. But he had 1,000 yards for the first time last year. So he'll be a guy that's going to require some attention, and we'll see what Kendall Wright can do. But you take Britt out, not only, John, is he a gifted guy, but he's a bigger receiver. The kind of guy, by the way, you know, to get back to Andy's original point with Devin McCourty, the kind of guy that really gave Devin McCourty a lot of trouble last year. Vincent Jackson, Brandon Marshall, those guys that really torched him early on in the season. Bigger, stronger, faster receivers that ran by him. Kenny Britt was that kind of guy. So to not have to deal with him is, I think, a huge edge for the Patriots defense.
Overall, just because of the way that the Patriots, we've seen how the front seven seems to have improved itself somewhat, is there anything extra that we should be looking for in terms of trying to get pressure and making it a little bit more uncomfortable on Locker? Do you see, in other words, a Belichick type of maybe thought process here to get in a young quarterback's head early? Because we know that he's been able to do that in the past.
Yeah, I think he'll pick some spots. I think he'll come out. I think you have a guy like Hightower that seems like he has the aptitude to maybe do some of those things. And I think he probably would be better served going forward than backward. In other words, you know, in passing situations, he's probably going to be out there. Well, send him after the quarterback rather than have him try to, track Jared Cook.
Right. Okay.
You know, and be an extra guy in coverage. I think we saw him. He was competitive in coverage at times during the preseason. We saw him here with the New Orleans Saints, and Jimmy Graham obviously is a huge task for anybody, and he was competitive. He didn't get embarrassed, but he was, you know, he was not quite able to make plays when he was put in those positions. And that's no knock on Hightower, by the way. I love Hightower. But I think it makes more sense to maybe send him forward and after the quarterback. What do you got, Andy?
Well, John, every once in a while I'll interrupt you just because we try to be interactive here
with the Twitter feed.
Which we
actually, can you hang on to that 2 seconds? Because I want to make sure we take care of the guest here.
What guest?
Jim Wyatt from the Tennessean.
I thought you meant Jeff, the guy from Vegas.
No. Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social rolls on here on Patriots.com radio. Jim Wyatt from the Tennessean joins us live from Nashville and the stadium. And Jim, thanks for taking a couple of minutes of time. It's John, it's Paul, it's Andy. How are you?
I'm doing great. I hope you're doing well.
We're great. Thank you. We've been talking about the speed factor overall and the Tennessee offense against a Patriots defense in a secondary that was clearly maligned last year. Where best do you feel like Tennessee can exploit some of the question marks that the Patriots have on the defensive side, minus a guy like Kenny Britt in the lineup today?
Well, I think they're certainly going to spread it out. I mean, the days of Chris Johnson getting, you know, the ball 25, 30 times a game are over with here, although I think he's certainly going to play a key role in this game today. I think the Titans are hoping he does because we'll take some pressure off Jake Locker. How much he can exploit, you know, some problems from last year, I guess that remains to be seen. I mean, there's so many question marks, you know, coming in with Jake Locker making his first start. I do think the Titans are more talented on offense, you know, probably at any point since I've covered the team, which is 99, which they moved to Tennessee. You know, look for a guy like Kendall Wright, you know, first round pick who's been, he's thrown right into the fire. You know, look for them to go to him a lot. You know, Nate Wright, they've only got four receivers, but I think Kendall Wright, Nate Washington certainly will play a big role in this game today. And, yeah, there's so much talk about the Patriots tight ends, and certainly deservedly so, two of the best guys in the league. But the Titans have the only big guy they really have size-wise right now is Jared Cook. And I think you'll see the Titans try to get the ball to Jared Cook, try to get him in favorable situations against some of those guys in the secondary. Could potentially be a big day for him. At least the Titans hope so.
Jim, flipping it to the other side of the football, I know a lot of Patriots fans saw that Titans front in the third preseason game have a lot of success against the Arizona Cardinals. Was that indicative of a much better Titans front and Titans pass rush? Did they just face a really poor offensive line that day? And how much pressure do you think that group can put on Brady, given New England's struggles with the offensive line this preseason?
Well, I think that's the key. I mean, obviously Cameron Wimbley on the outside, one of those guys that had a good game against Arizona, had a couple of sacks, and they're really excited about what he's going to bring. But I think the key, you know, with Brady is to get that push right up the middle. Now I expect him to be with us, and Derek Morris, one of the guys who's been real effective at defensive tackle this offseason and certainly in preseason. He's been dealing with knee issue all week. You know, I'm watching him, you know, here pregame doing a kettlebell workout on the sideline, which is a sure sign the guy's not going to be playing. So they'll be minus him. But they've got their young and athletic and strong up the middle with guys like Carl Klug and Jarrell Casey and Mike Martin, you know, a pick out of Michigan this past year. I think certainly the Titans feel like they can get a pretty good push up the middle. And you know, since Derek Marks is funny, he's the guy that did a lot of talking this week about seeing weaknesses on that Patriots offensive line, and he's not going to end up playing. But they feel like the Patriots have got a lot of certainly moving parts, a lot of question marks, a lot of uncertainty in the middle, and they plan on doing a lot to try to just test and see where they are coming into this game.
Jim, provided that the Patriots offensive line does a good job, you know, sort of handling that pressure that evidently Derek Marks didn't expect, but who do they have to fall back on to try to control those tight ends, specifically Hernandez, who really looks like he's poised to sort of break out and have, you know, a big year like Gronkowski did last year?
Well, I think they'll use, you know, what they've done in the past is they've used, you know, Michael Griffin, the other, you know, athletic safety who got a long-term deal this offseason. You know, some of their linebackers will be in the mix there. You know, the Titans did a lot better job against the tight end last year than they did maybe the couple of years before that when they just seemed like week in and week out they had all kinds of issues stopping the tight end. That's obviously going to be a key. I think they'll show the Patriots a lot of different looks in the secondary. They're going to have some guys in there that are not very experienced, to be honest with you. And I think that's one of the big keys to the game is how, whether Tom Brady can take advantage of some of these guys that are going to have playing there. Robert Johnson has not really played in the defense much. He's been a special teams guy during his first couple of years here. He's going to have a big role today. Ryan Mouton, who missed all last season with an Achilles injury, is going to have a role today. You're going to have some guys, obviously, and Jason McCourty at Ultra and Verner from the outside, you know, at corner. But you're going to have a lot of other young guys in there. And you'll wonder, I certainly wonder how many issues they may have from a communication standpoint with a bunch of new faces in there, as well as just matching up and stopping these guys. I mean, physically, I don't know that they match up very well. Not that anybody does against those big tight ends. But, you know, I think Griffin it will play a huge role here because he is physical and fast. But those guys post up on you, it's hard to stop them.
Jim, I know you got to run, so real quick before you go, just the situation with Jake Locker, is this spot too big for him starting his first career game against Tom Brady, against a Bill Belichick defense? How do you expect he'll react to this spotlight?
Well, I think certainly, you know, if the Titans would have been able to drop the schedule, this is not who they would have put on their week one because, you know, it is. Not only you're facing a guy you figure you're going to have to match, you know, point-wise in Brady, but also you got a guy in Bill Belichick who's going to try to confuse him and give him all kinds of different looks and you know, try to bait him into doing some things and show him things he's never seen before. I mean, Locker, when he played last season, he came off the bench five times. He played well. He didn't throw an interception. He threw four touchdowns. Not an interception. He was poised. Certainly, I think that helped prepare him for today. But this is a different game here. You know, starting your first game against the Patriots, against Belichick. He's a gamer. I will say this: Locker's got a good, you know, good has shown good poise and he's got a good attitude. But you know, he's going to have to use his legs and not force some things and make mistakes that will end up turning this game, you know, the Patriots' way. At least that's what the Titans are hoping. He makes good decisions and doesn't get overwhelmed by the situation.
Jim, thanks for the insight. We know you got to run. We appreciate it, and best of luck on down the line.
Okay, appreciate it. You guys have a good one.
You got it. Thanks.
Thanks, Jim.
Jim Wyatt, who covers the Tennessee Titans for the Tennessean in Nashville, and, of course, getting ready to get started in Nashville in just a couple of hours.
Now here's where I'm going to interrupt, John.
Please
do. Just because we do have a brewing story here on Twitter.
Please
coming
do.
Off of Adam Schefter. He's finally reporting something that I think other people have kind of heard mentioned, whispered, that Logan Mankins tore his ACL in the season opener last year,
right,
and then played the entire season on a torn ACL and actually tore his MCL later in the year, which kind of compounded the injury. And some people are kind of questioning this report. Greg Bedard is leading that charge. Doesn't seem like it makes any sense. And he has kind of tweeted that maybe the Patriots were lying on injury reports and he didn't, you know, they're using the fact that Logan said he didn't get an MRI as proof that this could be a misinformation or a misstory. The only thing I'd say about that is I think Logan Mankins was saying, I didn't get an MRI when I hurt the knee the second time.
Yeah.
I don't think he specifically said I didn't get an MRI all year. And the second thing I'll say, as somebody who tore his ACL in high school, I never had an MRI. The trainer came over, the doctor came over, and they said,
exactly what it was.
You tore your ACL. Sometimes when it's that bad, they know it's done, that the knee is just way too loose. There's nothing left in there.
Right.
So, you know, there are times when ACLs are diagnosed immediately without the use of an MRI. So, but this is, you know, one of those stories that pops up occasionally on pregame, and I'm not surprised to hear it. If there's anybody that I think could play through a torn ACL, it's probably Logan Mankins because, you know, knee be damned, I'm playing. He is a mind over matter type of cowboy. So, but that's one of the brewing stories we have being discussed on the Twittersphere right now.
All right, let's sneak a break in here, and then we'll come back and get onto the phones as well. Don't forget, you can join us here in the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, 508-298-0398. Area code 508, the number 298-0398. I'm John Rook, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo, Dunkin' Donuts, Patriots, pregame social, Pats, Titans, getting ready to kick it off.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Hooked up, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Pfft, rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey, it's Rob Gronkowski, Pat's tight end and big-time Duncan fan. The secret to my success? Coach drew up a play called Gronk, run downfield, catch ball out of air, and we give you freshly made bakery sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. I say Coach is a genius.
No defense keeps Gronk from his freshly made bakery sandwiches. Hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab your go-to sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Right now, we're having a grand opening sale to celebrate our new Kenmore Square location. You can get Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. With tickets to all the games, home and away, for all your favorite Boston teams, Ace Ticket has the best seats at the lowest prices, always. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com from any device.
I say 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Dante Hightower, the New England Patriots, and I get ready for every game with Andy Hart and Paparella on the Patriots pregame social.
You do? Really? I'm very impressed by that, Gerard. Welcome back, Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. I'm just impressed by that. The guy takes the time going through his pregame motions, but he has to listen to Paul and to Andy on the pregame social to get ready for the game.
Well, he wants to know what's going on right before kickoff. They want to know what they should be doing.
A lot of times the players are the last to know.
Well, that's why we have to tell them.
That's exactly right. And we want to hear from you. There are many ways you can get in touch with the program. We mentioned the telephone line, 508-298-0398 is how you can get us. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. It's the same old familiar address, but you should have that ingrained in your brain right now. I dream about webradio@patriots.com. I actually do.
I dream of things on the internet, but it's not webradio@patriots.com.
webradio@patriots.com. And please don't forget to follow us on the Twitter hashtag
PPGS.
There you go, PPGS.
Couldn't remember four letters, or you just wanted me to say it?
I wanted you
to
say it.
I'm the Twitter coordinator.
You're the Twitter coordinator. You are the man.
You are the Twitter coordinator.
Big Matt's here as well, because Matt has...
Oh, he's not here. He's in the poll center.
He's in the poll center.
We pretend we have a poll center.
That's a poll center. That corner of the studio.
Yes, he's over in the poll center.
Because if you're following the PPGS on our Facebook page, which you should be doing, we've got a poll question we thought we'd share with you. Go ahead, Matt. What do we got?
The poll question today, to start everything out, is which Patriots player has the most pressure to perform in week one? Nate Solder, Devin McCourty, Stephen Ridley, Chandler Jones, Brandon Lloyd, or someone else.
Wow.
Right now, it's Nate Solder and a landslide, 91%. Devin McCourty has 9%, and then nobody cares about what anyone else does.
That's not really fair. We kind of swayed the voting by talking about how much Nate Solder and Devin McCourty have to step up today.
Well, yes, in all which, honesty, though,
we influence opinion.
As I look
I think
at
a guy
that,
like Solder, as Andy would say, not sold.
Yeah, well, I would have to agree, to be quite honest with you. I'd be right there with
I
got to
give it to him. Andy said it.
But I am sold long-term.
Then we drafted him.
No. I am sold long-term.
Yeah, that was before we drafted him.
Oh, okay.
I'm sold long-term. I think he has all the talent
to do it,
to be an elite left tackle. But he's going to prove it. And I think this summer it became a head issue. I think it became a confidence issue. And I don't know if that's, you know, the situation, as I tried to say to Jim Wyatt before I stumbled over big Belichick defense. I don't know if it's the situation of, oh my God, it's Tom Brady. I'm filling a Pro Bowler All Pro Matt Light shoes. Or if it was just he got beat a couple times and then it snowballed negatively.
Right.
I thought it got in his head at some point this summer. And that's kind of good in that, you know, he can do the job. You just got to massage the ego, get him back, get the combo. I'd rather have that than a guy like Marcus Cannon, who I saw at right tackle, and I don't think he can play right tackle. I don't think he has the physical capabilities to be a right tackle. So I'd rather have the mental that at least hopefully Dante can somehow build from. But before we get into that, I did want to get back a little bit to the Mankins thing, because it's interesting in a lot of lights. Obviously, the whole injury situation, the report, whatever. But it also, remember last year when he struggled and he had a lot of penalties and he wasn't looking as good and fans were, oh, he got his contract. Now he's fat and happy. Now he's going to suck for 5 years or whatever. It's why I think we always caution, especially with the Patriots. You never know totally what's going on with a guy. And I know we like Mankins, so we even more so with him than other people. But
I know where you're going with this. You know, and I agree with you.
Now we find out the guy was doing the ultimate team player thing, earning his paycheck by playing on an injury that 99.9% of all other athletes
would
have had surgery.
Couldn't do.
Especially after getting that contract.
Right.
I could see a guy entering the last year of his deal saying, I'm going to suck it up.
Right.
I got to play. I got to get paid. He got paid. If anybody would be in a position to sort of relax and dial it down with a torn ACL, it would have been Mankins, and yet he didn't.
He never did. When getting hurt a second time.
And the penalty still thing, weren't there a ton of false starts?
Oh yeah.
Doesn't that make sense if a guy's dealing with a significant knee injury that he's thinking of, I got to get off the ball. I got to get off the ball because he's not himself.
Right. Trying to gain an edge by anticipating the snap count rather than just going on.
So a handful of times during the course of the year, I'm jumping the gun a little bit and I'm getting a penalty. And listen, I'm like Andy said, we both like Logan Mankins. He's probably my favorite guy in the whole locker room, and has been for quite a while. So I'm not exactly unbiased in this situation, but I believe this story. I believe that he was hurt all year. I don't believe he played at as high a level. But I also don't think that he was the train wreck that he. And Andy's right. He took a lot of heat for the contract.
Right.
You know, he got fat and happy, and I didn't see him fat and happy. And I think that's probably why this story is out there now. But
and it also makes sense. Remember, we talked about all year. He's got to be hurt. He's playing poorly, and he's not available. He was never in the locker room. And I theorized maybe he has a back injury or something that he has to deal with literally on a daily basis: ice, heat, whatever. But we saw it this week. He's back in the locker room this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's healthy, and he's back in the locker room every day, just walking around, answering questions.
Because he didn't have a torn ACL.
Right. So now we know all of last year, he probably not only spent his usual time practicing, but some degree of time just making sure he could walk and still play every day on the ACL.
Realizing an ACL is something for lateral movement, and an offensive guard doesn't necessarily need that in order to be able to participate.
But you are, I mean, you know, they wear braces. Most of them wear braces even pre-injury.
Prevent. Right.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that actually started more so in college. That was the first thing. Like, you know, you've
seen
Nebraska.
With a lot of the big guys, yeah.
All of a sudden, they just started. Right. You're a starting offensive lineman. Here's your two knee braces. Put them on.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's a risk involved. You know, mm-hmm. as much as it's already torn, whatever. The next level is A, more ligaments tear, and B, you get into a Robert Edwards situation where you can tear nerves, mm-hmm. you can tear a major artery that goes all the way down to your foot.
Wouldn't somebody say, though, you really can't do anything more than what you've already done before they would okay him to actually step out there again and continue playing?
See, that's a tough question. I don't know the specific answer to with knee braces. I just know from my experiences, and it's different at a high school level when you're a kid, they're not going to let you, but, you know, once you tear the ACL, like a couple days later, once the swelling start, you start to feel better. You're like walking around and it's unstable, but there's no pain. And you're like, well, maybe I could just, you know, throw a brace on and strap it up. And they won't let you. Yeah. And obviously they let him if this report is accurate. But, you know, there is a risk involved. It's, I don't know the percentage if it's, you could do more damage 5% of the time if you have a major hit or something on it. But I'm just saying, for all those people that criticized him for maybe getting fat and happy and having a bad year, it was the exact opposite. He was rich, and instead of resting on his laurels of a paycheck,
he was working for his paycheck.
He got his lunch pail and he went to work, because that's what Logan Mankins thinks you do as a farmer and as a guy who's an employee of a team.
Now we can only
hard
hope.
To argue with that.
Yeah, I agree. But we have to hope now that he didn't do any of the stuff that we were talking about there in terms of further damage. Now, he didn't have the Robert Edwards situation, obviously. We'd know.
Right. Well, he wouldn't be back out there right now.
No, exactly. But that's what I'm saying. You're risking that on some level.
But I'm hoping that he didn't do anything that causes him to sort of be affected
career
now.
And he didn't. I don't think he did. I mean, there would be more evidence of that. He's back out there. Even the slight limp we saw is normal with a guy who's now, whatever it is, 6 months removed from ACL surgery. He is on the normal track now. So I don't think he did any damage. But there's a risk involved. The easiest thing to do last year on Monday night, if they legitimately said you have a torn ACL, the easiest thing to do is say, well, when's surgery? And, you know, when will I be back next year? You know, will I be ready to start next year? That's the easy thing to do. That's the common thing to do.
And I have to go back and look. I'm not even sure he missed a play.
I don't think he did. So, because I think there would have been more knowledge of this. You know, an ACL injury that flies under the radar is very rare. Very, very rare. Because normally, the guy's season ends right there.
Right. And there was another tweet that Greg Bedard put out related to the offensive line, not related to what we're talking about with Mankins, that I thought was interesting. He said he saw Dan Conley on the field.
That'd be more interesting.
Right, taking some snaps with Ryan Mallett. And Greg sort of threw out there that it wouldn't surprise him if they had Conley at center and maybe Donald Thomas at right guard. And he put in quotes, as the best five.
Sure.
And that's not, I don't think, entirely out of the question.
I don't either. Now, I also wouldn't read too much into it because we also see a lot of times Brady doesn't come on the field for pregame warm-ups at this early point, these early phase.
And it would have meant more to me if he was taking snaps with Brady,
right,
too.
And Conley
I'll just say.
Is always on the field warming up. And so if he wants to snap, he's going to snap to the backup quarterback because he is the backup center.
Right.
Probably. You know, if Wendell's out there, if he goes down, my guess is Conley does move to center and then somebody like Donald Thomas moves to guard. So you don't want to jump to conclusions. So, okay, Conley's going to start at center. I still think there's also a good chance that Wendell starts at center.
Oh, I do too. I do too. I just thought it was interesting, and I threw it out there. I retweeted it for Greg. And it kind of goes in line with our guest Jim Wyatt talked about a little bit. You know, he mentioned that one of their defensive tackles, Sendarek Marks, sort of talked about that all week, about there's some they can be had. Their offensive line, there's some question marks there, and clearly that's what Tennessee is looking at as an area
they
to
had
exploit.
Seen some areas to exploit.
Now, unfortunately for Tennessee, Marks has been dealing with injuries throughout the preseason.
Doesn't look like he's going to be able to
play. Wyatt said that he was working out in an area that would
usually
lead you to believe that he's going to be inactive. He has not played. He didn't play last week, and I know he didn't mention Jarrell Casey was dealing with an injury, but he is too.
Right.
Who's the other defensive tackle? So, for Tennessee's side, something they might want to exploit, they might not be at full strength to do. So
that's right. All right, let's get to the phones here. Let's check in first with Jeff in Vegas, who's got today's money line. Jeff, how are you?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Excellent. How are you?
Yeah, fantastic, John. Good to hear your voice.
Appreciate it.
As a Providence College graduate.
Nice. That's right. Very good. Very
good.
So,
did you hear John back in the day yell peanut butter and jam? My favorite.
Did you do that?
I did.
Oh, wow.
Oh, it's nothing to be embarrassed about. I thought it was phenomenal. As like a 10, 12-year-old kid hearing that, phenomenal.
Yeah, when I was there, they had a player named Michael Smith who ended up having a nice. He could throw it down pretty well.
He could throw it down pretty well.
Absolutely. Anyhow, been here at the sports book since 5:30 a.m. Pacific time. And
sweet.
About another 14 hours to go here. So.
Bravo, bravo.
Jeff, let me
interrupt you for 1 second. Patriots have listed their inactives.
Yeah, that's what I was going to read.
Oh, go
until
for
you
it.
Interrupt me.
Go
I thought I was the Twitter coordinator.
I thought you were going to ask Jeff a question. Go ahead. You are the Twitter coordinator.
Patriots inactives. Beckett. Oh, Christ.
Dennard, Fells, Forston,
like Fred. Why do these
Francis,
things scroll?
McDonald, and Vereen.
Beckett, Dennard, Fells, Forston, Francis, McDonald, and Vereen are your inactives.
No surprises there.
It's for Jake Beckett, too?
Oh, yeah. He's been... He's last on the depth chart at defensive end.
My only concern is Fells.
Okay.
Are we just going to go through all year with Fells
two
being hurt?
That means, we'll be active in...
Manalanui.
Yep. Okay.
All right, Jeff. Back
ahead,
to
Jeff.
It.
Yeah, well, you guys sounded a little bit like a Bill Belichick Wednesday smoke-blowing press conference earlier, listing all the potential pitfalls for the Patriots against the Titans there.
It's what we do. We're company men.
Yeah, I like that, how you get both sides. Anyhow, just to get to the game itself, the line opened New England -6.5. A ton of Tennessee money has come in, and now it's New England -5. Total was 47. It swung up to 48.5.
Hmm. Interesting. Any thoughts on why that might be, fellas?
That's a good question. Total going up.
Facing the home team. Who knows? I mean, speed that we talked about perhaps that Tennessee does have on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, it's not like you had any real changes in terms of personnel or anything that would change a line late in the week. So I'm guessing it's all based on the money that was coming in, and they just altered the lines appropriately.
Maybe the Akula weather. Someone told me it's in like the mid-70s, where it had been very hot and humid earlier in the week.
Sure, weather could be a possibility. Before you go, I'm just going to tell you what you should do, Jeff. And that's take the Patriots and the under.
Andy Hart, that puts me in a place I don't always like to be, but it's a nice segue into the Jeff in Vegas Play of the Week.
Heavens to Betsy!
I agree, as they say in New England, wholeheartedly with Andy Hart. Oh,
that's good. I see what you did there. Wholeheartedly. I see what you did there.
What's the, what was the over-under again?
Paul was too busy interrupting me on Twitter, so he didn't hear you say your number.
It was 48.5.
48.5. It's way up there. So I've got to take the value here, fellas. New England disrespected. It should be a lot higher than 5. I'm going to give the 5. Patriots take the under as well. Lock it in.
I agree. You're going to make big money. You're buying lunch on PFW in Progress next week with those earnings.
That is correct. Bet the house. Go Pats. I'm very excited about the game.
All right,
thanks,
see you, Jeff.
Great to talk to you. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Long-time fan. Like it.
Weird guy.
It's all
peanut
good.
Butter and jam.
You don't like that call, Paul?
It's okay.
I love it.
I had one for he talked about Michael Smith back in the mid-90s. That was also whenever he would load up and throw one down. That was Michael Motorcycle.
I don't like that one as much. Wow! We got to work on getting some of these. Do you have tapes of these?
Can we get some of these
Michael
drops?
Michael Motorcycle!
Oh, that's 20 years ago.
Here at the dunk.
I've graduated on. All right, let's get Tyrone in Delaware. Tyrone, thanks for hanging in, man. You're in the Patriots pregame social.
Hey, how are you guys doing this Sunday?
Good,
what's
buddy.
Up, Tyrone?
Awesome.
It's game day.
Yeah, game day. I'm ready. My ticket ready. NFL Sunday ticket, but I don't know if the offensive line is ready. I want to piggyback on something you guys was talking about last week when you guys were saying, I think Fred was the only one saying that it had a lot of things going around that, you know, that the Patriots don't like to spend money. I think his word was dying or whatever like that. And, a lot of people on Twitter is bashing Brian Waters for holding out for more money. And I want to know, with all this offensive line, and Andy, I agree with you this morning about Nate Solder. Nate Solder could play, but I guess because of all the pressures on him now, and then Brian Waters, everybody's talking about Brian Waters not there, probably got a lot of pressure on him, and that's probably why he's been struggling. I don't think it's a physical thing, but a lot of people on Twitter is bashing Brian Waters. I'm like, yo, the dude got to do what he got to do. Now I'm going to ask one of you guys, I'll ask you guys, if you guys, with all the offensive line issues, and if, because Baltimore, they did what they did with McKinney, because McKinney was starting to leave, and they restructured that deal. And I'm asking you guys, if Brian Waters want more money, would you guys restructure his deal so he could come in here and play football?
I would have in the spring. I would not now. I'm all set with a guy who just sits out. I would have given him some money. At 1.4, he was underpaid as a Pro Bowl guard. You know, seeing some of the money that guys, the interior linemen, got this offseason. One of them, Hutchinson, didn't he get a decent contract to go to?
I'm not sure what his deal was.
And then Saturday, I mean, guys that are in the same ballpark as mid-30s, Pro Bowl caliber interior linemen were making more money. I would have been willing to negotiate in the spring. Now, I'm not. Yeah, you can't just ditch summer and show up when you want. I'm not a big fan of that, so I'd move on.
I understand that, but the guy could play sometimes. But remember what the Giants did with O.C. Uniora. He had a big contract dispute in the beginning of the season, but instead of letting him go, they know they need him. And they worked with him, and he's still on the team.
Yeah, I didn't say it was right. I'm just saying I'm stubborn. I wouldn't do it.
And it's not a great. Yeah, the timing's not great, and that's the problem. I think they should have.
Yeah.
I think they should have probably been a little bit more proactive in avoiding the situation. But you know, it is a tricky thing, Tyrone, because you do run the risk of sort of disrupting. You disrupt your locker room when you appear to. Sort of give favoritism to a guy, you know, all of a sudden you're like, well, now we're desperate. We need to do this. Now what's to stop other guys from sort of taking advantage of similar situations?
Well,
and that's what you have to worry about. You have to balance that.
I understand that. You got a point there. But if you're that good, like how Brian Walker's County, he's not the answer.
Listen,
feel about that.
I can't argue with you that I would feel a lot better about the Patriots offensive line today if Brian Waters were ready and part of it.
Well, I'm very concerned, man. I just feel Brady will get hurt, you know, and this is a test right here because you guys said it earlier this morning. If the Tennessee D-line is not all that. Now, if they struggle with that D-line, when it comes to Baltimore and the Buffalo Bills, that's a lot of problems. But you guys enjoy the game.
Thanks, Tyrone.
After the game, I'm going to either be upset or happy.
I really can't see any other run, and they're not going to tie, so.
I like that. I'm either going to be upset or I'm going to be happy.
I mean, I guess they could tie.
Good. I like that.
You know, it's funny, because I could blow in the wind with this, by the way.
Yes,
I could watch Ryan Wendell and Dan Conley.
John,
are
you going to watch the game with us?
Up.
Yes, I am.
You will see nothing like Andy Hart from one side
I'm
to the other.
When somebody runs right
forward to it.
When somebody runs right through Dan Conley, there's a chance I'm going to say,
you
got to
get
Waters
back.
What he wants.
and he'll be ripping them.
My principles only go so far, and my principal says I wouldn't pay him right now, but that could change.
Yep.
One other quick thing on the Waters situation that has also been vaguely put out there by Tom Curran, and I don't know if you guys read, he kind of did a synopsis piece yesterday, vaguely said to kind of be careful for people that are criticizing his family loyalty or commitment, and I guess that's fine, you know, if he has some major issue, you know, I believe he has five kids. If there's a major issue with his five kids, okay. But again, it's still, he has a job to do. And I respect his decision. Just make your decision. If you have a personal issue that forces you to stay in Texas,
say something to somebody.
Right. And just say, I'm staying in Texas. That's what this is about. It's a family matter.
Right.
I don't need specifics.
Just say.
And I'm done.
Stay for
I can't,
family
you know,
matter.
Tony Fiametta left the squad because
all
he had a family issue.
I'm so much in agreement with this line of thinking that words, just say I agree doesn't even begin to. There's a lot of guys that have issues that they deal with.
Of course.
To me, To say, like, to begin, I did read that yesterday, the piece that Tom wrote. I would never sit there and tell a guy, your family means too much to you. I mean, who would be idiotic enough to think something like that? And then, you know, God forbid one of his children were dealing with something. Andy and I talked about this on Friday in the office. You know, who knows? One of his children, you know, any number
That's
of different
the whole
things.
Point. We don't know.
Right. But here's my point. You whatever that, an issue like that, more than likely he's been dealing with. It didn't just happen. And unless so some sort of, you know, diagnosis came down from last year to this year,
right.
But that's a perfectly valid reason to not be in New England.
Of course it is.
So there's no decision to be made. So I am going to criticize Brian Waters for sort of sitting on the fence, because if that's the reason, it's the reason
somebody.
For 1.4 million, 2.4 million, 3.4
million. Right. You can't
clearly, if the Patriots said, here's three more million, we'll see you on Tuesday, he'd be here. Clearly, he'd be here. So I am going to criticize Brian Waters for this, even if it is family related.
I don't think it is. I think that was too vague, and there's been too many of those in these vague stories. That's part of the problem here, is all this vague reporting. Reporters are getting a lot of whispers from various areas, kind of running with it. But at least, I know in the Globe they wrote, you know, it would make it easier to deal with the family situation if he were financially taken care of.
Well then
you don't really have a family situation.
Then it's not. It's not a family situation.
Because if I have a sick kid, it doesn't matter what the money is involved.
Money shouldn't matter.
Now, I mean, especially for professional athletes that are, he's turning down $1.4 million.
Right.
Now, even if it were Andy and I, sure, if Mr. Kraft said, you know what, I sympathize with you, Andy. You have to take care of your family. Here's a bonus of, you know, $200,000. Obviously, that would help from a sure. practical standpoint.
Right.
But it's not going to eliminate my problem.
No.
And
no.
neither would this eliminate any professional athlete's problem. You know, just and to me, I've been struck all summer long how, you know, Andy and I have been talking about it on PFW in Progress. It's a holdout. And now all of a sudden it's okay to call it a holdout. Why people haven't been connecting the dots as to where Brian Waters is beyond me. I mean, to me, I've actually heard some people criticize, say, how do you know it's a holdout? I'm like, well, do you think if they gave him $3 million, he'd be here? Well, yeah, probably. Then it's a holdout.
Then it's a holdout. It's a holdout. Right, Johnny in LA, you still with us?
Hey, guys.
Hey, Johnny, how's it going?
It's been some riveting offensive line talk for the first 40 minutes of the show today.
We can't win. We can't win.
Would you rather we talk about boobies?
Oh, boy. Always.
Yes.
Always.
Now we're talking, buddy.
Well done, Johnny. Well done.
Game boobies.
Andy, I like boobies.
Boy, oh, boy. I had to tell a girl who woke up beside me this morning, she had to leave because she's a Jets fan.
Did you know her?
Was she
hot?
Yeah,
we had met. We had met earlier in the week, and she's, real nice and young. And so,
real nice and young. I like how you throw that in there.
Earlier in the week. Good for you.
Not too young, I hope.
No. 22 is young, though.
Okay. Know? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, 22 is young.
And hot and 22 is nice.
wait, a couple things here. I won't be calling you guys from Sonny McLean's this year because I got the DirecTV package, so I'll be watching it at the house.
Nice.
Good. Good upgrade.
Yep.
And you're going to watch in your living room, right?
No, I'm going to watch in the bedroom on the TV they've never lost on. What's the matter with you?
Oh, boy, there's more furniture moving in the future.
No doubt about it. It's going to be interesting to see how long this streak can go, though. It's a long one, you know?
I'm
they
still
haven't lost on this TV in 3 years.
I'm still Sweet. Disappointed you kicked the Jets fan out.
I told her. I said there's a Patriots radio show I call into.
Hey,
she
Andy.
Looked at me real weird.
It wasn't a deal breaker, though.
Right. Did you snap a photo before she left? You could have sent it in. This is how you pregame with a 22-year-old hot Jets fan.
Jets. She said something about ordering a Sanchez jersey. I was like, you've got to go.
So you should have given her a dirty Sanchez.
All right. Oh. Listen, the only thing I wanted to say, because this is the only week I'm going to be able to say it, is that Adam Jones, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not 100% sold on Pac-Man Jones.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a little snippy.
Yeah, he's got a little edge to him.
But
the show is still better with him hosting and not Paul.
You think so?
Yes.
Thanks, Johnny.
I do. Wow.
But yes, I do think so because I never want to host again.
And it allows Paul and I to have our little back and forth banter, occasionally fight a little bit. I think we lost some of that when Paul was too worried about, you know, our former sponsor and saying that and all these different things and ins and outs. And that's not Paul's strong suit. Now we need a real host. We got a real host today in John Rook. We got a close to real host in Adam Pac-Man Jones.
I know, but it's too organized now. It was better when it was chaos.
There's too much structure.
I love the chaos.
I'm not organized.
We're supposed to be like special teams.
No, he's saying
just
chaos. He loves the chaos, Paul.
No,
he
I know.
Like the structure that I provide. He likes the chaos.
I know. I think it's actually a real
John,
show now.
No, that's not true. I love all you guys. You're the best. And I think the offensive line thing is overblown. I think they're going to be fine today. I think the Pats win a game that's a little closer than most people expect, and I'm real excited.
Well, Johnny, let me ask you a question.
That's exactly how I feel.
You're obviously very principled, having kicked out a hot young girl out of your bed because she
told
was,
you,
quote, a Jets fan.
It wasn't a deal breaker, so let's not go
but
overboard
on the
principles.
But he kicked her out. I mean, he could have had a little halftime fun, if so to speak, and he didn't. So you obviously have your morals. Would you allow Brian Waters to return to this football team right now? Would you bump him in pay? Would you do what it would take to get him back?
I would not.
Yeah!
I would not.
What I like to hear.
No, yeah. No way.
We'll
no
check
way
back in
guys,
after the first quarter when Andy Hart changes his
together,
mind.
Struggled together, sweat together throughout the preseason, and I agree with what you were saying on PFW earlier this week. I'm with you 100%. No way.
Now will you change in the wind like I will if Brady gets knocked down three times from rushes that come right over right guard?
Absolutely.
Yes!
We need Brian Waters back.
That's right. That's how Patriots fans work. We're cynical, and we blow in the wind.
You blow, all right.
Guys, thank you for
Johnny, thanks.
Taking my call.
You betcha.
Thanks, Johnny.
Good luck.
Talk to you next week.
You got it.
Find another hot for next week.
Titans inactives have been announced.
Go.
And Cedric Marks is among them.
Okay.
The only really big name. Javon Ringer, their backup running back, also out, but for the most part, other guys that are not necessarily household names. But Cedric Marks will miss the game. Jarrell Casey will play.
Interesting. Melvin, the Pats fan in Tennessee, is in the Patriots pregame social. Hey, Melvin.
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
Good, man.
You got your Hernandez jersey on?
Yeah, well, I couldn't decide because you said Hernandez, and then I think Jackie said Gronk, so I have the Shake and Quake with both of them on there. I got the shirt. So I can decide whichever one I want to go with.
That works.
Just so you know,
those two are safe all year. But, you know, Hernandez, when he has 12 catches today, you're going to say, damn it, I should have gone with Andy.
You're right. I'll just say, first of all, where can I send the pictures of our pregame and stuff?
Webradio@patriots.com. Webradio@patriots.com. Send them in. We'll get them up on the Facebook page. Do you have any women with you in the party today?
Melvin, I already got your picture up, bud.
Okay, cool. I got some more. I haven't got to the game yet.
All right.
Coming to the game.
Find some hot chicks and take pictures with them.
Okay, I will. That'll be easy.
Okay. Oh, nice!
Nice.
But I just say one quick thing. I think Brandon Spikes, I can't wait to see him today. I think that he's a big difference maker when he actually plays, whenever he's out there. And it'll be interesting to see if they can. They've done well with the preseason. I see it stopping the run. And with Chris Johnson back there, depending on what type of Chris Johnson he is, you know, I just like to see them, you know, at least take care of one part of defense and, you know, being a good run defense. I think the pass hopefully will come. We'll see how that works today. But I think just with these SEC linebackers, that'd be one of the biggest things I'm concerned with and have to see.
Well,
that's my only comment.
I'm with you on Spikes as a pro. Because I do think when the SECD is out there, those three linebackers, there's a lot of potential. But my concern is, with the con on Spikes, that, you know, he's not always out there, and they have no backups. They, you know,
right.
If Mike Rivera steps on the field, I'll be concerned. Very concerned.
Right, me too. He's way too stiff. Chris Johnson will make him look silly. So
he would. Can you imagine that one-on-one matchup? Mike Rivera reads, and he steps into the whoop!
Bombo alone.
Yeah. He got blown up in the preseason by some, I can't remember who it was. One of those guys juked him out of his jock.
Did you see him dominating against the Giants?
No, actually, I didn't.
Game.
I saw him get 12 tackles, whatever it was. I never once saw him dominating against the Giants.
I wouldn't be too happy to see that. They need to get Bobby Carpenter back. He played well through the preseason. I have no idea why they cut him with Fletcher out with that ACL. I have no idea what they hope they have a better plan to get another linebacker back.
Yeah, he'll be back next week. That's what I'm going with.
I think so, too. I thought that was probably something. Hey, we got to do this structurally, fundamentally, roster-wise, whatever, you're coming back.
Yeah, I could see him back next week. And he said on Twitter he hopes so I think he'll be back.
Well, that's good, because they need him.
Yeah.
All right, man, I see you. I'm heading to the game now.
Thanks, Melvin.
Thanks, Melvin.
All right, no problem.
You got it.
Melvin, I think Carpenter will be back, but I'm not sure. Certainly injuries can affect things, but I'm not sure that's a huge... That doesn't really move the needle for me very much. Bobby Carpenter.
Bobby Carpenter over Mike Rivera moves the needle for me.
Yeah,
a little
really.
Bit.
I think Mike Rivera is as he put it, stiff.
I'm not sitting here telling you that I have full faith in Mike Rivera. That would be a complete lie. I mean, he's a practice squad guy who's trying to carve his way into the league.
Everybody has to.
Don't think as much of Bobby Carpenter as some other people do.
I don't think much of Bobby Carpenter at
all. No, and I know you don't.
I know him.
I didn't mean to make that sound like you did.
I just have him above Tracy White and Mike Rivera as can play on defense. I don't think those two guys can step on the field on defense.
I think they'd be in a lot of trouble if he had to play every down. I think that Bobby Carpenter could factor in as, and it'd be interesting to see how they work it today, could factor in as that, you know, sub-package linebacker.
Well, that's what they used him as throughout the summer.
You know, so I think there was a chance that he could have carved some kind of role. And I don't know if they have a linebacker.
I see what you did there, carved.
Yeah, sure.
Did he nail it down? Did he hammer it home?
This is the kind of stuff. This is why we had no organization when I was the host. But I'm not sure that they're going to even use a linebacker. I would think that
Spikes.
Thought
he got screwed when he got cut.
Do you think that Hightower and Mayo will stay on the field today? Three downs.
He's still trying to talk football.
I'm trying to ask him a question. He's my linebacker expert too. That's the funniest.
Sorry, I missed it.
Do you think that Mayo and Hightower will be three down linebackers today? Because I think there's a reasonably good chance that will happen. Spikes will probably come off occasionally.
Yes.
But I'm not sure they replace him with a linebacker. Spikes. I think that they'll replace him either with an extra rusher Tavon Wilson.
No, he's first man off when they go nickel and dime.
Yeah, but I think that instead of
– and then
people are wondering, who's the sub linebacker?
The next
I think you have two linebackers there.
The next one is interesting. Who when they take out two linebackers, I find it interesting to see who go off the field, because everybody thinks of Gerard Mayo as doesn't leave the field, he's our play caller and all that. But remember, Hightower was a play caller for a lot in the preseason.
Correct.
And he's considered to be more versatile – although he's unproven.
All right, let's get our ducks in a row. Matt, is there an update on the poll on the Facebook page?
From the poll center?
From the poll center, we have a new poll up. It is, who will lead the Patriots in receptions today?
Okay.
And the options are Welker,
Nate
Gronkowski, Brandon Lloyd, Aaron Hernandez, or other.
Okay.
Meaning one of the running backs.
Hit us up on the Facebook page to answer the poll question. You can also get us in the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. 508-298-0398 as we roll on with our Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. webradio@patriots.com is the email address. We'll get to some of those. And as we get to a break here and get ready for hour number two of the pregame social, I want to steal something from Patriots Life, who posted this on the Facebook page. And I want to do my best John Facenda. Okay. As the days grow shorter and the autumn temperatures begin to drop, gladiators return to the field of combat. Once again, determined to find a future champion. Everyone fights, no one quits. Patriots football is finally here.
Hey, it's Rob Gronkowski, Pat's tight end and big time Duncan fan. The secret to my success? Coach drew up a play called Gronk, run downfield. Catch ball out of air, and we give you freshly made bakery sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. I say Coach is a genius.
No defense keeps Gronk from his freshly made bakery sandwiches. Hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab your go-to sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call Better Banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Right now, we're having a grand opening sale to celebrate our new Kenmore Square location. You can get Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. With tickets to all the games, home and away, for all your favorite Boston teams, Ace Ticket has the best seats at the lowest prices, always. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com from any device.
Pats fans, here's your chance to experience the ultimate road trip. Enter the Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle for a chance to travel in style with the Patriots to an away game. The grand prize includes seats on the team plane, a room in the team hotel, a pair of tickets to the game, access to the field on game day, and much more. Proceeds from the raffle will benefit the Patriots Charitable Foundation. Buy your Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle tickets today by logging on to www.patriots.com.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
Welcome back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Have a hot take on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now back to Adam, Paul, and Andy broadcasting live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium.
It's John in for Adam on the first Patriots pregame social of the 2012 football season. Yes, John. So we do welcome you back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Hey, let Dunkin' Donuts make you a sandwich. Please, let them make you a sandwich. Dunkin' Donuts.
I would. I let anybody make me a sandwich.
Turkey cheddar. Well, you're the guy.
You see what happens when you try to do it the right way? That's what happens.
He's the guy, though. Do you ever see when Augusta, you remember when Augusta National was going through all the controversy a few years ago over not having women members, which they now have?
Yes.
But did you ever see the photo of the rally they held before the Masters a couple years ago? There's a guy standing in the back of the rally holding up a sandwich that says, holding a sign that says, make me a sandwich. That's what I think of whenever I see this. It's got a little of a sign.
Hey, Condi Rice, make me a sandwich.
Make me a sandwich.
Condi.
As Maxwell would say, get back in the kitchen and make me a sandwich.
Dunkin's turkey, cheddar, bacon, and ham and cheese bakery sandwiches are made with care so you can enjoy life's simple pleasures. Get yours today. America runs on Dunkin'. We thank Dunkin' for being a part of our Patriots pregame social. Yet again, I've mentioned email, so we need to get to some emails here, shall we, fellas?
Yeah, we're supposed to be email-driven, and I'm not sure we've read one yet.
No, we got to do this. Vaishon from New York writing in, Andy, your dream about Sterling Moore and Tom Brady was hilarious. Told my girlfriend the story, and even she got a good chuckle out of it, minus all of the peeing and crapping that was going on. Nice. That's nice. I wanted to get your thoughts on the chemistry between Brady and Lloyd. What kind of numbers do you believe they're capable of putting up this season?
I still think they can be good. I still think it's not out of the realm of possibility to say, 65 to 70 receptions probably for Brandon Lloyd. I don't think he's going to be the focal point of the offense. I think that's obviously the tight ends and Welker. And I think Welker's numbers are going to come down this year. As I've said many times, I think Hernandez numbers are going to go up if he stays healthy. Mm-hmm. I think he could catch 100 balls as a slot tight end, quote unquote. I think you're probably
going to next year.
Yeah. And I think you're probably going to see Gronkowski's numbers come down a bit because I think defense is going to say, we're not letting him beat us. We'll let other people beat us. And he had the greatest year ever for a tight end last year. I think it's only natural that's going to come down. But I know the Lloyd thing has been this big. You know, the chemistry hasn't looked good. They haven't. Fred Kirsch is leading the charge.
Fred's very
Homer
concerned
Kirsch
about the offense.
Is worried about the offense. And one of the concerns is Brandon Lloyd and what he can be and all that. I think, A, he plays a better position for this offense, being an outside receiver who can get down the field a little bit. I'm not all in on his capabilities there. Don't get me wrong. He's not Randy Moss, but he's capable. He's, you know, the guy had a 1,400-yard season. He's had good yards per catch. Tom mm-hmm. Curran believes he's like the greatest in the history of the game in terms of making plays down the field right now. That's a little over the top, but he's good, and I think he's a good fit. And I saw enough early in preseason where I think they're going to work together and make plays.
I have a question for you guys. Let's just say today doesn't go as we expect. Because we all, I think, John, speaking for you here, I think yeah. we all think the Patriots are going to win. Might not be a blowout, but we think, you know, somewhat comfortably by the end of the game. Be a struggle to get there, but they'll win. Let's say it doesn't go that way, and it's a tight game, and the Patriots absolutely face a third down and that they have to positively convert. Third and eight. Where does Brady go?
Well, he's if you're talking about Lloyd, he's his fourth read.
No, I'm just Welker, I was asking where do you think he
now,
goes?
Now, I think he will. If the coverage dictates it, I don't think he'll say, I can't go there. But if there is any opening to either Gronk, Hernandez, or Welker, he's going to those guys. I mean, that's where his loyalties are. You have to prove yourself to Tom Brady, and Lloyd has not yet done that. But I don't think he's at the point where he goes, Gronk's covered, Hernandez covered, Welker's covered. Let's check Gronk again. I think he says, where's Lloyd? Because he must not be covered. Mm,
okay.
That's what I think he'll
do. Do you have an idea of what the number one look might be?
The number,
his
I think
number
Hernandez,
one read.
I think Hernandez is the number one read this year. I think we've seen that enough in camp where when they were out there together, it seemed like he threw to Hernandez all the time.
That's
absolutely
true.
I think Hernandez is the guy.
And the only thing I would wonder about that is we didn't see Welker out there a whole lot.
We didn't.
Yeah,
so
I don't think you're going to.
Yeah.
I think you're going to see him off the field at times.
I thought it was interesting that Wes on Friday, Thursday, I think it might have been Thursday, talked about
Dunkin' Donuts, by the way. Supposedly things run on Dunkin' Donuts. They've brought at least two members of this show to a screeching halt.
Yes.
Don't go to the poll center because Matt just engulfed half a bagel in his mouth, and John Rook is putting on his light pumpkin cream cheese on his bagel right
now.
That's
right,
so he's not even paying attention to this.
No, I didn't realize that. I thought it was peanut butter.
Oh, he got giddy. He goes, what
pumpkin,
kind of cream cheese we got? He goes,
pumpkin
ooh,
cream
light
cheese.
Pumpkin. I'll take it. And I'm thinking,
you don't want to be in a foxhole with the pregame. Social crew.
Seriously.
Oh, do you have any light pumpkin cream cheese?
Now I don't know when it's...
This is absurd.
You know, the queen
Where's
and the
light
rook?
Pumpkin cream
the
cheese.
Eric Scalavino, John Rook show. I'm not sure who the queen and the rook is anymore on that show.
He's mad at me for
yes.
the 5'7
This
comment.
Is what he does. He lashes out. He'll be in the corner later, and he'll just be swinging wildly.
Well, then, okay, just for the record, because we said that off the air.
Yes.
Okay, you mentioned...
Andy and I continued our linebacker conversation off the air.
And played linebacker in college.
And I say, I defer to Andy. Because he played linebacker in college, John, and I wasn't sure you were aware of that, so I wanted to fill you in.
My question was very simple. I said, did he play in a 5'7 and under league?
And I responded with, I'm 5'8 and 3/4.
And I responded, whoa, peanut butter and jam.
Michael motorcycle.
Todd in Nova Scotia. Guys, what's going on with Brian Waters? Is he coming back? Is it about money? If it is, and Brady gets killed because the line isn't as good as it could be, I'm going to be pissed at BB and Bob Kraft for nickel and diming a Pro Bowler.
Whoa.
We have lots of cap room, according to Pro Football Talk.
It is about money, and we have cap room. Those two things are true. But I don't believe it's about nickel and diming. I don't believe this is a flat, you know, and we had a caller earlier who said, talking about the McKinney situation about... He took a pay cut. They negotiated his deal down. When he said he was leaving, it wasn't he wanted more money. He was taking a pay cut. This is Waters, in my opinion, wanting more money to lure himself away from his family. Not necessarily the Patriots tried to screw it. I don't buy that the Patriots went to a Pro Bowl guard and said, we're going to cut your pay because you're making an exorbitant 1.4. Yeah. They just paid a backup named Dan Conley, who's now going to be a starter. They paid him like $3 million per on a new deal. They gave him a bonus in $3 million. I don't buy that. This is about money, but it's about more money for Brian Waters to want to come here, not about the Patriots wanting to pay him less. Or it didn't start that way. I don't know how it's gone now. I could easily see the team saying, well, you skipped all of camp. We're not paying you all of it. You didn't do your full job. Now I can see the team digging its heels in and try to screw him, because I would do the same thing. You know, part of your job is to be here for the month of August, and you weren't here. Now I'm going to screw you. We got to make an example of you. We can't just let you walk all over us, because this isn't Richard Seymour. You know, that's a guy in the past. They paid him $1 million to show up. They gave him a $1 million bonus to show up.
Right.
Brian Waters is not Richard Seymour. He's not a young, developing guy who you want here for the next decade, and I think people can understand you kind of luring him back. This is totally different.
I also wonder how the communication was from the start. You know, certainly Bill indicated that minicamp and OTAs was excused. I wonder what the whole conversation was like. You know, were the Patriots aware that Brian Waters was looking for more money, say, in May? I don't know. I'm not sure they were. Do we know
that he was looking for more money?
No. I'm saying if he was, in fact, looking for more money. You know, the question the emailer asks, is it about money? Well, it's about money, I think, one way or the other. You know, the report this week that the Boston Herald came out with was that the Patriots were trying to get him to take less.
Right.
I don't really think that makes a whole lot of sense. I think it's more about he probably wants more. But I think we're pretty safe in saying that it's about money in some way. I just wonder what the communication was like from the start in this whole thing. And I'm wondering if Brian Waters, he communicated the facts that he was looking for and the Patriots said, well, we'll call his bluff.
Yeah.
Or if, you know, it was more of a thing that he was truly deciding whether or not he wanted to play.
Mm-hmm.
And the Patriots didn't really think there was a contractual snag waiting to happen. I don't know. There's so little that we know, definitively about the situation. It's hard to come down either way.
Al from Italy, please, Andy.
You have to read it like an Italian guy. That's
please,
how.
Please, Andy. Yes. Talking too much. He's annoying. Less Andy, more Paul. Go
absolutely,
Pats.
Al.
That's Fat Alberg. He's a big fan of Paul. They have the same waistline.
And then he says, "Finally, season is on. Should I trust the deep?" You notice the hand?
Yes.
You guys are noticing the
I
hand?
I do. That's kind of offensive to me as an Italian.
We have them. We just don't use them.
We need
camera.
To use them.
Pointed
should
right
I trust
you?
The defense? And why? Less Andy, more Paul.
Well, we'll let Paul handle that then.
Should we trust the defense?
Yeah.
Right now, today, no. We haven't seen him play yet. That's, you know, I am very excited and encouraged by the moves that they've made. We talked about Steve Gregory earlier in the show. We talked a little bit about Dante Hightower. Chandler Jones also going to make his NFL debut today. I'm really excited about the defense, but am I convinced that this defense is markedly better than last year's? No, they haven't played yet. But that is my number one thing to watch today, and the number one thing I'm excited about is to see
what the defense
the strides that this, because it was not a very good defense, contrary to popular opinion, it was not a very good defense that finished the season last year.
Does the front seven, general question, does the front seven make the back four better?
I would think that's the hope, because they really, you know, aside from Gregory, they haven't really changed much in the back four. He'll make it. He'll help. I mean, I would think that they won't have as many issues communication-wise, but, you know.
Do you feel better about the front seven today than the middle of last year?
Do I feel better about the front seven? Yeah.
Yes.
He's doing that Glenn Ordway thing where he answers a question with a question.
Yeah. No, I'm answering in the affirmative.
I think Chandler Jones,
Dante Hightower, hopefully a full-time Brandon Spikes. Yeah, I feel better about that.
But again, it's my old argument. You're replacing.
But I want to see it.
Andre Carter, a Pro Bowler, and Mark Anderson, a 10 sack guy, with these guys.
Mm-hmm.
So you feel better with that switch.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm there.
Maybe it might not show up today,
long-term,
but I feel better about it.
Long term. Short
term. Oh, yeah. No. I'm talking
short,
about today. I'm talking
today?
About next week for the next. Oh, yeah. For the next 5 years,
you know
I feel
what?
Way better.
You have a legitimate point.
Carter to me is worthy of Mark Anderson to me,
he was their defensive player of the year last year.
Andre Carter is a loss
because he did step up. And what you talking about, Anderson?
No, Carter.
I agree.
Yeah, I thought
I agree with
Carter.
Andy.
Played
Andre
the run.
Carter is a
he
loss.
Was a three down contributor throughout the year. Set the edge. I thought he gave Mark Anderson some of his sacks
but
by
isn't
pressuring
it,
from the front side.
Right? Isn't it also though a case that they didn't make a move on Carter because of what they saw in Jones?
Yeah, I think some of it was financial. We had the reports that he was looking for, quote, you know, Pro Bowl money and Pro Bowl defensive end money and a multi-year deal for multi-million dollars.
Has
I think that was part
with
of
anybody?
No, he's not healthy.
Okay, there you go.
I think he's going to be back. But
here?
Yes, I think he will play for the New England Patriots in 2012, and I'll feel even better about the defense then. But just getting back to my general question about the front seven, I'm not sure I feel better today. Now, I don't actually know if my front seven from last year was, like, together. Like, Brandon Spikes with Andre Carter with, like, I don't know when, how often they were actually all on
right.
the field together.
And that's kind of what I'm talking. And I also like Hightower a lot. I think that's.
I love him, theoretically.
I think, you know, well, yeah, that's why I said, can I definitively say it's better? No, I can't. I have to
like,
wait to
I think
play.
Rob Ninkovich was a member of both. I think he's worse as a defensive end than he's an outside linebacker. I have, you know this?
I know.
I have
I
doubts
know.
About him holding
I feel
up,
better about Hightower.
Which is why
about,
I want Carter back. Because I think Carter could play that other side, or at least give you a better rotation at defensive end.
And we don't know how Jones is going to hold up, but you make a good point with that.
I personally believe at least one of your starting defensive ends today will not be a starting defensive end in a month or 5 weeks. I think there's a good chance that one of those guys doesn't hold up. Probably Ninkovich. I'm feeling pretty good about
but
Jones.
Not, and you're saying not because of injury. You're saying
no,
because of play.
I'm thinking because of, remember the first quarter of the Denver game? You're going to see that with too much regularity, and either Jermaine Cunningham or Brandon Dedrick is going to be on the field.
That's one of those examples of when Andy takes his bang, and he just changes.
Right there.
I love Rob Ninkovich.
I know you do.
I think
know
he's a
do.
Versatile player. I'm not sure he's a starting player at either strong side linebacker or defensive
end. And I'll say
and
this.
I think those other two guys are bigger, stouter, and potentially better, and I'm intrigued by Cunningham's year three jump.
I thought last
a big
year,
year three jump guy.
I thought last year there was a point in the season, probably around the Pittsburgh game, Giants game, middle, right in the middle, where it appeared as if Ninkovich was sort of running out of gas a little bit. He was playing every down.
Right.
Playing an awful lot of football, I thought for another couple of weeks here or there, he sort of became less of a full-time player. He still was a starter and still was a big part of the defense, but I thought they knocked his snaps down a little bit, and he seemed like a better player from that point on. And I wonder if that might be the case again this year. If you're going to ask him to go wire-to-wire three downs as the defensive end, Andy might be right.
Getting maybe hit more by bigger guys.
Maybe you see Cunningham come in as a fresher sub-rusher, because I know they've been toying with using Cunningham a little bit inside. I don't think that's really his thing. I think he's, I think he could probably play there, but I'd rather see him come in on third down as an edge guy and see if he can get after it.
Think he's better inside.
I'm not as convinced on Cunningham as Andy is. He flashed without question in the preseason. He had his best camp. Probably the first time he's really been out there for any length of time in camp in his 3 years here. He did what he needed to do. I thought this was a big training camp for him, a big summer for him. He's done part one. He had a good offseason, according to Belichick, and he showed up in the preseason. Now it's time to take that in the regular season.
But I'm not talking about the pass rush as much. I actually think as a pass
no,
rusher,
I know
he
you're
is
not.
What he is now.
I know you're not.
But I think
I just
his best opportunities will probably come inside, because athletically,
I mean, dropping the
he can win those.
For Ninkovich.
I think he can play defensive end against a team like Tennessee that you expect to be run heavy. I think he should be your starting defensive end right now.
Cunningham,
yes.
You're saying?
Yes.
All right, from Nick. Guys, I'm pumped for the start of the season as I sit sipping on my delicious Dunkin' Donuts coffee. I thought of a game I would send you guys. This
Have
is
you
just
tried
simple,
to like pumpkin cream cheese?
It's excellent. This is just a simple over-under game, but predictive Ooh, for the whole season.
I like it.
Can I play over-under? Here we go.
Yes.
Tom Brady touchdowns, 40.
Over.
Under.
Ooh, very negative.
Hightower interceptions, 3.
Under.
Okay. Ridley rushing yards, 750.
Over 800.
Over. I'm going to say slightly over.
Okay. Total rushing touchdowns, 13.
Under. For
the
team?
For the team. Over. For the team.
Over.
Okay. Yards given up by McCourty, 730.
Over.
Wow.
Over.
Sacks given up by Solder, 5.
Over.
Under.
Okay, there you go. I like playing over-under. That's good.
Who's doing the evaluating
right.
on that last one?
Oh, that wasn't his fault. Oh, that wasn't his fault. I win the bet.
Andy and I could be in a knockdown dragout on that one.
Ian in the UK, emailing from the UK. Can't wait for the game to start. Just thought I would offer an over-under question for you.
That's the theme of the day.
Brady to throw for more yards this season than the defense will concede. That's what he says.
How many yards did the defense concede last year?
Will Brady throw for more than the defense gives up?
No.
Andy's going to look it up.
Are we talking about just through the air?
I'm going to guess
is this
no.
An aerial comparison or total yards versus total yards?
Total yards versus total yards.
Because the Patriots a year ago, total yards gained 68-48.
Right.
That's total yards. That's passing in
right.
and running.
Okay. And Brady
and
threw for
five and change.
Right. So that would be less.
And the defense
under.
Oh well, the defense total yards gained was. Oh, that's the Titans. Wait, I got to go to a different page. Talk amongst yourselves.
Okay. Well, let's get to the next question. Jason in Maine. PPGS, do you think Josh McDaniels will help solve the problem of slow starts for the offense that we saw a lot last year? I think if the offense can get quick points on the board, it'll help the young defense by making opponents more one-dimensional.
I think Josh McDaniels is a good coach. And I think they were good with Josh McDaniels as their coordinator. I have a lot of faith in McDaniels. And, you know, they had some start issues at times. And so, yes, I'm going to go with just yes. And I don't know whether it's just schematic, a feel for play calling. You know, Bill O'Brien's off to a slow start at Penn State. Maybe he's a slow starter.
Did you get the UK question for us there?
I didn't. Oh, yes. 65-77 they gave up for yards last year. So I'm going to say Brady will not throw for more than 6,577 yards.
But
now, obviously, the question is, do you think that the Patriots will allow fewer 1,500 less yards? Because that's what you're basically talking about. And I'm going to say no.
100 yards less a game?
That would be considerable.
Right?
That
because
would be considerable.
To get it down to 5,000.
I'm feeling pretty good about this football team.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding, right?
I do think the defense would be better. But not that much better.
All right, Bill says, John, first I want to welcome you back to the playbook on behalf of all the podcast listeners. Thank you, Bill. Figure I better get that in before you have to go. Thank you, Bill. Second, can you tell us how you're going to call passes received by the Patriots' new Samoan tight end? Is this close Brady 8-yard pass to crinkle paper and mumble for another Patriots first down?
That's a great question. You are the play-by-play, but the in-stadium guy. You're going to have to say.
What's his last name again?
Manawanui. We have to sing it. I don't know if you're allowed to sing.
But he doesn't pronounce it uh-oh. It's oh-oh, right?
Something like that.
Well, see, what happened was, the other day we all went up to him and asked him to say his name, and he said it twice. He even wrote it down, I think, once.
Phonetically,
and somehow everybody left and still had a different interpretation of what he said.
Literally, there was about 20 of us around him, and we came away, and there was about 5 different interpretations of what he had just said twice.
Yeah.
I took it as oh-oh, Manawanui.
That's what I thought, too.
He puts the H in there, though. So it's up on Patriots Today. He said, ho-oh, Manawanui.
Ho-oh, Manawanui.
Yeah, I didn't hear the ho.
All right, so in this regard, then, that's an 8-yard completion. Tom Brady to Michael ho-oh, Manawanui.
That's not bad.
Okay.
See how he just snapped right into professional
voice?
He
does. It's really, it's special. It's
part
special
of
to be around a true professional.
Is his nickname is uh-oh.
Uh-oh, yes.
So it's not ho-ho or whatever. It's uh-oh.
Ho-oh.
Just don't add things. That's what he said is his pet peeve. There's enough letters in there already, so don't add any.
Some people just don't say,
kind of like when I call him Goskalewski.
Yeah, don't add letters.
It's long enough. We don't need to add anything to it.
Quick hit from the Twittersphere. I know Paul likes this one. This is courtesy of PFW Eric, and he says, QBs Tom Brady and Ryan Mallett already here warming up. Seems a little earlier than usual for that group. Paul, would you like to comment on the timing of the quarterbacks warming up?
I read that and ignored that one.
Brandon Lloyd just arrived, waving and pointing to various sections of New England fans at LP Field. He's on an up right now for our bipolar wide receiver. Soon he'll be flipping them the bird, I assume.
I did like Tom Curran's tweet, though, about Bucks is short for Buccaneers. Pack is short for Packers. Titans.
I don't really get it.
I get it.
What would short for Titans be?
You of all people don't get this.
Unbelievable.
Oh, teats.
Look at the light go on over his head.
I think he wrote it backwards.
Goodness.
All right, because you can't write what was actually short.
I was thinking that he was saying, what is Titans short for?
Mark from Cheddar. Rook and the Pawns. It's good to be back to proper football. I like that. Rook and the Pawns. That should be a show.
Do you know?
Kevin, that should,
do you know?
That should be a show.
I'm not happy with being a pawn.
Your little game.
Like Bill Belichick's game.
Eat your little game. Light pumpkin cream cheese.
Yes, it is. Listen, stop it. I have a game for the three
of
you.
We're definitely getting complaints from somebody about
this show. I will give
two
names. If you had to choose one player to have a good game and the other player to have a bad game, who would you choose? You ready?
Okay.
Welker or Lloyd?
Welker good, Lloyd bad. No. Yeah. No. Lloyd good, Welker bad.
We're asking who's going to have a good game or bad. I go the opposite.
Choose
Welker.
Who you choose.
Who you choose.
Yeah, not predict. Who you choose.
Oh.
If you can pick, you have to pick one to be good and one to be bad.
Pick one to be bad and pick one to be good.
I think you should read Twitter. You need to pay attention to the questions.
Sorry, then I think Andy's right. I think if I had to choose, I would choose to have Lloyd be good in week one.
Because you assume Welker's going to be fine.
Yeah, I don't worry about it.
The more bad games he has, the less it costs you to resign.
I agree with that. You want Lloyd to be good, feeling a part of this thing, right?
Because that'll become a story. Say Solder is fine today and Lloyd sucks. That's the next story in line that Fred Kirsch is saying, I'm still worried about Lloyd.
They could win 34-10, and if they throw the ball three times to Lloyd and he doesn't catch any of them, that'll be a story on Monday.
Story for next week. That'll be
a good topic for you on Tuesday.
That'll be a nitpick
Tuesday. Hernandez or Gronkowski?
Well, I'm going with Hernandez because I'm predicting him to catch 100 balls, so I need a good start to
this one is less important, but I'll say Hernandez.
Okay. Hightower or Jones?
Jones. Jones good, Hightower bad.
Yeah.
Solder or Vollmer?
Solder.
Left tackle.
Good.
Oh, yeah, Solder.
Needs
Solder,
a good tackle.
More important.
Because I think it's in his head, and it's not good to start in his head.
Plus, Vollmer's played. If he has a bad game, he chalks it up as a bad game. Solder.
McCourty or Arrington?
McCourty good, Arrington bad. Yes. Please, God, if you're listening. McCourty good, Arrington bad. And nothing against you, Kyle.
Mayo or Ridley?
Mayo good, Ridley bad.
I'm going to go the opposite. I'm going to go Ridley good.
That's the right answer.
Okay.
Mine was
okay.
Well, mine was a little swayed because I really like Shane Vereen, and if Ridley has a bad game, then once he's healthy, my guy Vereen will get snaps.
That's all right. They'll be able to save the foot.
Eric from San Francisco says, guys, opening day couldn't come soon enough. While everyone focuses on Solder and McCourty, I'm still baffled about the wide receiver position, scratching my head over the release of several wideouts and, yes, especially Branch. How can you invest so much time and money from free agent pickups to mini camps to training camp only to jettison over a half dozen of your receiving core at the 11th hour and then trade for a wideout with only a week before the first game to hopefully integrate him into the game plan? Sounds like a nitpick Tuesday. I know it's Salas and he has familiarity with McDaniel's system, but I have to think there was something more than a desire to embrace the youth movement that led to these sweeping moves. Your thoughts?
I think it was the desire for a youth movement, and I don't think they thought that the veterans were good enough or all that good or worth keeping. And if you want to avoid getting old and you have old veterans who are just who you're not in love with what they're doing, then you don't stick with them because you'd rather have a young guy that you're with who you can develop. And I think Salas is a guy that they think could probably develop. I don't know if he will, but that's one thing they lacked is a developmental receiver. You know, the Taylor Price experiment didn't work. Right. Julian Edelman is kind of treading water in that role, but has become more of a jack of all trades and a punt returner than a developmental receiver. I think they saw an opportunity and they pounced on it.
Yeah, I am surprised. I'm not going to lie. I was surprised that they let them all go. However, it makes a lot of sense. I'm not trying to, you know, play the homer card here. But you're dealing with a third or fourth receiver who at best is the fifth option in the passing game behind Welker, Lloyd, and the two tight ends. That guy to me has to be able to play special teams. Branch, Gaffney, Stallworth, those guys have not been special team players in their careers. They have a little return experience in their past, a little, but not much lately. To me, Greg Salas is a guy, as Andy said, that's young and you might be able to develop. And also, you should have no problems with trying to get him out there on special teams. And that, to me, as a fifth option on offense, I'm not sure why it's getting as much attention as it is. Unless something happens to Brandon Lloyd, I don't have any problems with what they did. I am surprised, but I don't have any problems with what they did.
As we talked about with Carpenter, they're all out there. You need to bring them back.
Yeah,
They're all out there.
They are there.
You know, Gaffney's DeAndre
worked
Carter.
He's worked out with two teams now.
No one wants him.
Still hasn't signed. And by the way, the Raiders signed Derek Hagan. Instead of Gaffney.
Paul used to like him before he realized he couldn't catch.
No, KK, can't catch.
Quick update off the Twittersphere again. Our friend PFW Eric. Curious that during warm-ups, Patriots did not do any kickoff returns. The return men were out there, but no one kicked them the ball. I don't know if he's sad for them or...
Maybe they're mad.
I got a fan request on Twittersphere as well.
What do you got?
Go.
Vicente stop talking on Andy. Our chat.
What's that?
Vicente on our chat on Facebook.
Yes.
Shine says up. He loves John Rook and... Hashtag peanut butter and jam needs to be trending worldwide by the end of the day, Andy.
I'm all for
peanut butter and jam.
Every Patriots fan that's listening, make sure you hashtag peanut butter and jam.
Sweet. There we go.
Did you trademark it? Do you have T-shirts?
No, no. Well, I have two. I have one saying that I usually use through a broadcast, whether it's basketball or football, and it's usually an exclamation. It's holy moly. That was something that my dad used to say when he was pissed off at me when I was a kid. And so I heard that a lot. And so I actually kind of thought about doing that, but I never did it. And then peanut butter and jam was another one, and I never did it. So I should probably do that. And now somebody's going to beat me to it since they just put it out.
They're filing it right now on the internet.
Probably so. Pablo in Mexico City. Hola, Pablo.
I was in that pumpkin cream cheese.
Thank you.
How do you know he doesn't speak English?
See, Kevin knows.
Actually, I think you know he speaks English if he sent you an email.
He did. Great to finally have games that matter again. The pregame social has been fantastic. Having an actual host allows Andy and Paul to pin their ears back and talk boobies without second thought.
It's true.
I'll leave you with just a quick question. Who is the player that we're not talking about right now, but we may be talking about after the game is over? Ooh, I like that question, Pablo. Hola, Pablo.
How about a guy who some of us posed as a surprise cut and hasn't done a whole hell of a lot this summer in Danny Woodhead?
Ooh.
He's a guy you could talk about. Wow, you're still working on that peanut butter? Pumpkin cream.
You are the host. You're supposed to kind of run the ship here.
I think Danny Woodhead is a guy we haven't talked about at all that potentially could factor into this game in some way, shape, or form. Let's see, on defense, a guy that we really haven't, I just really like the idea of the inside of that Patriots defensive line. I mentioned earlier that the Titans are pretty solid up front on their offensive line. They are. They have two pretty good tackles, in Stewart and Ruse, and now they got, as Andy mentioned earlier, Hutchinson to play left guard. One spot that's really a problem for them is center, and if you remember, they courted Dan Copen a little bit before Copen ended up re-signing here in New England, and there was some conjectures whether or not maybe Copen would try to go back there after he got let go. Fernando Velasco was one of those guys, kind of like Ryan Wendell. It's been around, but he's been a backup.
Who John would talk to in Spanish?
Yes.
Hola, Fernando.
Hola, Fernando. Fernando. You look marvelous. So he's a guy that I think Vince Wilfork and Kyle Love might be able to, collapse the pocket a little bit, make that job of containing Jake Locker a little bit easier.
Sure.
For Chandler Jones and Rob Ninkovich. And we haven't really talked about Kyle Love and Vince Wilfork.
My dark horse got really dark because he is inactive. I posed when I did my Friday six-pack on the website, you might get some interior pass rush. Maybe Justin Francis would get a chance, and he's not getting a chance today.
Not today.
Nate Ebner?
Hello, Ebner.
Any chance we see Nate Ebner in the role that he played in this preseason, that money position, linebacker up, shooting it, blitzing
it. See it.
I think you're going to see, Andy, I'm going to predict that you will see it. You're going to see it in the second half when it's a 2-plus score game and you're dealing with throwing the ball on
every
down.
That's exactly why I was going to say. I would say you'd love to see it because that means the Patriots are probably in good shape.
Yeah, because I'm actually concerned in that matchup a little bit with Chris Johnson. I think Ebner could be a guy that had some success in the preseason, played pretty well, tackled pretty well, and all of a sudden he comes up to make a hit on Chris Johnson and he goes, oh, that wasn't as easy as it was in the preseason as Chris Johnson jukes him. It goes by him for about 60.
Nicole sends this one. It looks like It's an attachment.
Oh, hey now.
So it says, me and Gronk at Duncan on Dixell Avenue in New Haven, Connecticut.
What avenue?
You want to check that out, Manny?
That is already up.
Okay. Nice.
Is it good?
It is. It's a great picture.
Because I'm not opening on this computer.
The Rob Gronkowski cutouts that are in Dunkin' Donuts all over the Northeast. Where he has like his arm out and it's cut out.
Oh, I thought it was really him making an appearance.
No, it is. Oh. Don't ruin it. It is.
Oh, yeah.
It's him.
Rob was in Connecticut today.
Nicole got it done.
Then he went to Nashville.
All right, Tim, who says he's the Phoenix Pats fan. PHX is Phoenix Big Head. I guess that's in your honor. For the last decade or so, I've had the following early season philosophy.
DB is douchebag to you.
Gee, thanks.
No, not you.
Oh, okay.
Him, PX Head.
Yeah, PX Head. The first 4 weeks is glorified scouting, both self and league scouting. For a game plan heavy team like the Patriots, we need tape, legally acquired tape. I believe that after 4 weeks, there is enough tape on all teams to significantly game plan. Therefore, early season losses aren't as concerning. Any truth to this? Discuss now.
I sort of, I don't want to say that losses don't matter if they happen early, but I agree with the idea of you're finding who your team is. What did Bill say to us
about the cliche about mid-season October. Form is when mid-season form happens.
Right. You know, that's why it's mid-season form. But I do think that you sort of find out who you are in September. And, you know, then you go accordingly. And certainly for a team like the Patriots that's so game plan oriented, that's important. You know, as much to find out who you have as much as who the other guy is.
Right, right.
But I don't want to go so far as to say early season losses don't matter. We've seen the Patriots lose games early in the season and rattle off long winning streaks. I mean, even last year they were 5-3 at the break.
That's true.
At the midway point. I shouldn't say the break.
1-8 in a row.
You know, they won 8 in a row and got right back in the race, as Danny and Quincy would say.
Our eyes and ears and very large nose on the ground in Nashville has a couple more tweets for us. PFW Eric, Ryan Wendell is doing the warm-ups with the football, not Conley, in terms of snap. Right now on the field. And in the Music City, Patriots have their music man, John Bon Jovi, on the New England sideline.
There you go. Like it. Like it. All is well, then.
I know what it means.
With Bon Jovi on the sidelines.
Ah!
Sam in Chicago. What's up, pregame guys? Thanks for the show. Wanted to pass along some Chicago Pats info. You had a female guest on the show a few weeks ago from Chicago.
Cat.
Yes.
She's love a dirty,
cat.
She was, dirty cat.
She was lovely.
She asked where she could find some local Boston fans. Come join me and about 100 Pats fans down at the Tripoli Tavern on Armitage Ave, just west of Halsted Street in Lincoln Park.
Send your pictures into RadioPatriots.com.
Yeah, please send in photos of Cat.
Park Street.
Says that they have a Patriots flag out front. Chicken wings ain't too bad. And they're going to have curse words up during the game.
Nice.
How about that?
Weird, but nice. Yeah. People actually listen to what Fred thinks during
have
the game.
Have our new game center up with the call of the game as well.
Especially in a road game when Andy and Paul aren't there to say, hey, Fred, McCourty's out of the game. You might want to put that on the block.
Oh, he is? Oh. Has anyone seen Brady? Did he play today? That's kind of something Fred will say.
Craig,
usually in the middle of the third quarter.
Craig from Philly. Earlier this week, one of the Eagles fans I work with told me that we've been successful more because of our personnel than any coaching by Belichick. To counter that ridiculous statement, I asked him to name one player or coach that left the team and went on to have more success than when he was a Patriot. You should have seen the look on his face. Totally dumbfounded. Speaking of coaching and schemes, can't wait to see how creative Josh will be with the players we have. A few particular plays I'd love to see, like BB's sleeper play when lined up to kick a field goal. I don't know what the signal call is for the play, but Falk used to run it. He was lined up behind Brady pre-snap, went in motion to the edge, wide out spot, and ran the nine. Do any of our running backs have the hands to run that play other than Woodhead?
Vereen.
Vereen.
Vereen could do it.
If he could ever stay healthy.
I think Vereen's a more gifted receiver than Woodhead is.
I do, too. Not as gifted as Falk at this point.
No.
Could be, maybe. But he just has to stay healthy.
You know, just, you know, Shane Vereen caught, I don't know, 70-something passes at Cal.
And in a pro-style
offense. In a pro-style offense with Jeff Tedford. So that's he's a pretty good receiver. Now, unfortunately, we're not going to get to see it for a while because he's banged up, and I'm worried about that injury. That looked like it could have been a significant injury.
Could be. He's tweeting, if that means anything.
Is he? What is he tweeting?
Not much of any interest.
Okay. James V. in the UK. Greetings, all men of PFW. Rook, so wonderful to hear a proper host on the show. Please do it every week.
Oh, is that a shot at
I think
Pac-Man?
That was a shot at Pac-Man.
People don't like Pac-Man.
Why?
I don't know.
He's a good kid.
He's a good kid. He's excellent.
But the general consensus after 4 preseason games was people don't like Pac-Man.
I think he's fine. He's a nice young urban professional.
The problem is our listeners get snippy with him because he doesn't leave the callers on long enough. I mean,
he's trained in the ESPN school.
So it's
caller gets one question and bang, you're gone.
Right.
No, I don't do that.
But to be fair, though, one thing that he does do is he'll let the caller ask the question, and when he answers, he won't hang up. He puts them on hold so they don't talk over him and they can listen to what his response is, and then he gets rid of it.
So in other words, it's not a conversation with the caller. It's just a question and
on
answer.
On to the next thing, yeah.
Okay. Well, it's a matter of style, but that is the kind of the ESPN way of doing things, and I know that from having worked 11 years at the network myself, so they just want you to... Where is it? Where is it?
Then he brought out peanut butter and jam, and they said, John, time to go.
Thank you. The reason I can't do it every week is because most of the time for home games, I'm upstairs.
Correct.
Trying to
and
get
even
rid of
other
the
times,
game,
so. You have all these travel issues, and you're all
sometimes,
around the country doing
sometimes.
College
I was a little,
football.
Where were you this week?
I was actually in the Natty, Cincinnati this week.
The Natty.
Did the Cincinnati-Pittsburgh game.
Thursday night game?
Yeah, Thursday night game. Correct. I have purchased that the
was,
NFL
game. That was a bludgeoning, huh?
Yes, it was. It was very good, too, for the Big East. Because Pittsburgh is one of those teams that's, you know, hightailing it.
Okay.
Traitor. Have purchased the NFL Game Pass for the first time, so I can now watch every single snap Patriots have this year. It is a beautiful sunny afternoon, and the beer is flowing. That is all.
Where was that located?
UK.
Oh, nice.
UK.
These are the games they like, too, because they're, you know, it's only 6 o'clock or whatever over there, so they don't have to stay late.
A lot of UK people on the chat, too.
Oh, they'll be drunk later. A lot of people. Are they drunk yet?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Larry,
like they're typing with fat fingers on.
Larry from Cambridge. I've been listening to the show since 11 a.m., and after the last comment by Paul about unspoken possibility of an opening season loss or less than stellar performance opening by the Patriots, I noticed how a month ago I was hearing ridiculous predictions of 16-0 or 15-1, and now we're worried about the Titans' pass rush and happy not to be facing the Ravens today. Why does Belichick routinely go into each season with one glaring weakness on the team that every fan already knows and is worried about? For me, it's Devin McCourty getting burned all over again, and for most, Solders or Waters on and off of the offensive line. Seems the Patriots' expectation needle has nosed down a bit. It's Larry from Cambridge.
I think that's fair. I don't know what
Paul
doing.
Needs to check. He needs to check the emails, see if it's legit.
He thinks you made it up. That I made it up. Validity or something.
No, I have a guy that's been emailing me a lot. He refers to himself as Larry, and I think that might be him.
The same guy?
He's the most negative guy I've ever seen. I mean, yeah, Andy and I get accused a lot of being negative, and, you know, I guess we are at times, but,
because there's actually not a lot of to be negative about.
No.
When you're 13-3, 14-2, and going to Super
Bowls. Nothing compared to this guy.
Except on Tuesdays on Patriots.com
that's
radio.
That's right! Thank you!
But I will say this. Number one, I don't necessarily think that I posed all these ways that they were going to lose today, because I don't think they're going to. I think it's going to be...
Oh, even your struggle game, they won.
27-17. I mean, it's not even going to be like a one-score game, I don't think. I think the Patriots are going to be comfortable.
You said even if it's a bad day and it's tight and then they barely, even your negative scenario involved a W.
Yeah, right. They still win.
Which is all Bill Belichick will care about. He might come out here as mad as anything, but if he leaves today with a win, that's a building block for the next week.
But I want to attack one of the statements that he made. Why does Bill Belichick go into every season with at least one glaring weakness? You tell me the team that goes into the season without any glaring weaknesses.
At all.
At all.
There isn't one.
Most teams have like a half dozen.
You know,
the Patriots have one that puts them ahead of the game.
You know, and I don't know any team in the league the way we do. I mean, we're at practice and training camp every day. I don't know any team's personnel the way we know the Patriots. But, you know, in Houston, do you not have a glaring weakness in your durability at quarterback?
I'd say that's a glaring weakness.
He's never really been able to play 16 games. To me, that's a pretty big weakness. In Green Bay, they're dealing with a lot of the defensive issues that you're dealing with here. They're coming off a season. They allowed more yards than the Patriots. Now, personally, I think the Packers defense had a bad year last year and is capable of better, but I think the Patriots also improved defensively, just like Green Bay is trying to improve defense. I think every team has glaring weaknesses. It's the coaches and the players that are able to work around those and cover those up as best they can. We talked a lot about Dante Scarnecchia. Andy and I have so much faith in him that we don't ever think Tom Brady is going to be under siege for an entire season. I don't think it'll happen. I think they'll find a way to scheme around it. And if that makes us, you know, sort of whistling past the graveyard, yeah, I guess we're guilty of it.
All right, let's check in from the press box. Big E, Eric Scalavino from PFW joining us from Tennessee. What's up, Big E?
Did we mistakenly step inside the playbook?
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. You've stepped inside the playbook.
But it starts with a G today.
I know. I'm just messing with you, John. How you doing?
Good, man. Awesome. So what's the latest? What's the vibe? We've been reading your tweets all morning long. It doesn't seem like there's anything totally out of the ordinary.
No, not a whole lot of surprises. It's a gorgeous day here. Perfect day to start off football season. Not a cloud in the sky. Well, maybe a tiny little one. But
oh, for Christ's sake, keep
great,
moving.
We've been reading your tweets all day, so we have no idea what's going on.
No, the only, really, there hadn't been any surprises lineup-wise. Inactive-wise, there were a few healthy scratches, but they were all rookies. There's really very little drama here. The only thing that I thought was a little bizarre was that they normally do punt and kickoff returns in pregame warmups, and they didn't do any kickoff returns at all. They didn't even have Steven Gostkowski out here doing kickoffs. He just came out and did some field goals and then retreated to the sideline into the locker room. Just a little bizarre, just something I thought I'd point out.
I forgot what I was going to say.
Wow. That was unusual.
Well, he stumped me in there for a second because I was thinking about kickoff returners, and that is certainly a question mark heading into the season. Who's going to return kicks for this team? Is it just Danny Woodhead, who was not very good in that role last year? Or is it one of the 12 guys that they've thrown out there this this offseason and Devin McCourty. Mm-hmm. You know, there was some hubbub that maybe he'd get the reps this week. You know, there's a lot going on there. But I wanted to ask was the hubbub of a little bit of a story that was dropped by Adam Schefter today. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering what the reaction by some of the reporters in the press box was to the report that Logan Mankins indeed tore his ACL in the mm-hmm. First game of the year last year and played the entire season with that injury.
Yeah, there's a little bit of debate going on here. Is like, could it really be true? And then there was a little bit of, not really controversy, but just sort of a debate, I guess, going on about whether or not that should have been listed. But then, you know, some of us were saying, well, if it's not impacting his attendance at practice or his, you know, his likelihood of playing, then it doesn't need to be reported, technically. You know,
that's true. It's a practice participation report on Wednesday, right?
Exactly. So, like, it would be like if you had the flu, but you still showed up to work, you wouldn't be reported as, you know, having a sick day. Right. You came and you showed up.
Now, that's under the belief that he didn't miss a snap of practice or have his practice limited in any way by said injury.
Well, that's true. We only see, you know, 15 minutes at most of practice, so we don't know what happens, you know, after that. But the fact that he wasn't listed either means, you know, he didn't tell anybody. Or by the time he did tell anybody, they realized that it wasn't, you know, impacting his ability to play, and so it didn't need to be reported. But that was really, I think, the biggest sort of buzz that was generated in this press box here was that, you know, well, you know, we don't doubt the report and the facts of it, but just whether or not it should have been something that was known or made public much sooner than this.
Okay, getting back to today's game and what you're seeing out there, in terms of warm-ups, I don't know if they've started to do some of their team warm-ups. What are we seeing?
They're all done, actually. Both teams are off the field.
Okay,
right now.
So give me what you saw in terms of the lineups, personnel packages in the passing game. You know, there's a lot of discussion of how they're going to use tight ends, how they're going to line guys up, multiple running backs, whatever. What kind of sets were you seeing from the offense?
Well, first team, you had really no surprises on the O-line. You had Wendell at center, Mankins at left, Connolly at right guard, Solder at left, Vollmer at right tackle. So there was nothing surprising there. You had your two tight ends, Gronk and Hernandez, and you had Welker and Lloyd as your two wideouts with Ridley in the backfield. So really nothing surprising there. In the sub packages, the backups came in for their warm-ups. You had Greg Solis and Julian Edelman taking the spots at wide receiver. And you had sort of a combination of Lex Hilliard and Danny Woodhead, Lex Hilliard and Ridley at running back. You take one of those tight ends out and go with more of a heavy package. You put Omen Awanui in there at block. So they didn't really give away anything that I think you would have, you know, raised an eyebrow about offensively. And defensively, kind of the same thing. You had, as you call it, your SECD at the linebackers. You had your four defensive tackles that we've seen, Ninkovich and Jones on the ends and Love and Wolfork in the middle. And safeties and defensive backs, same thing. Chung and Gregory at safety, McCourty at left corner, Arrington at right corner. So no real indication of anything surprising based on pregame warmups.
All right, Eric, good stuff. Thanks, man. We'll talk soon, and I'm sure we'll have plenty to nitpick about.
Oh, I'm sure, but I think it's going to be a good game. There's only one starter on the Titans who's out, Sendarek Marks. So both teams are coming in pretty healthy, and it should be a good game.
Thanks, buddy.
Okay, we'll talk to you guys.
All right, man. Eric Scalavino, PFW, in the press box with the Titans and the Patriots minutes away from kickoff. Let's wrap up the pregame social with Mike from South Dakota. Mike, what's on your mind?
Not much. Not too worried about the O-line, though. I think we'll play some tight ends on bump and run, and we'll be just fine.
Yeah, the only thing we've talked about, and you're right, you could help out with your tight ends. How much does that alter what you want to do offensively in terms of using your tight ends spread wide, getting them down the field more on passing routes? You can do anything you want, but as Bill Belichick says, when you work to cover something up, where does that create other holes? And the cost could be taking yourself out of your most advantageous passing sets.
Anything else, Mike?
That's true. I think Gronk will be able to bump and run Cameron Wimbley and still be open off the side though, a little bit.
Certainly could be. I mean, we've seen Gronk do that and throw guys to the ground on his way by, missing stride, throwing guys to the turf and helping out in that way. There's no question. Right. But I'd still prefer to see an advancement from Nate Solder so that I don't always have to think about how do I help out Nate Solder.
Right.
Yeah, and you know, we'll scheme a little bit more, and that should help too. I'm honestly more concerned about the secondary here than I am the O-line.
Yeah, I will continue to be concerned about the secondary.
Absolutely.
Until they give me reason to not be concerned. And, you know, Paul talked about it, you know, the great defense coming together last year. Well, I felt better about it, but everybody points to the points scored in the Super Bowl and not the fact that the Giants marched up and down the field however they wanted to in that game. Yeah. So I'm not sure the resurgence of the defense at the end of last year was quite as much as people want to make it out to be, other than just point to the points. And, you know, okay, you're right, the points were what they were, but I didn't think the great advantage was made there.
I'd agree, too. Hopefully what we've added over the offseason helps, and I'll be watching the game with Fred here.
Steve Gregory. Right. Steve Gregory's your guy. That's the hope, because there's not really much else to put.
Hope and
hope.
Change, baby.
No,
hope and change.
Other than that, it's Kyle Arrington. It's Devin McCourty. I hope McCourty's better. The only change was, that's good, hope and change. We should put that on the cover. Devin McCourty is hope, and Steve Gregory is change. Why do you come up with these things after the preseason is done?
Because, never mind.
You Matt, are useless.
Matt, one final look at the poll center. Yeah, one more look for
the
us.
Final look at the poll center.
Yeah.
We had a tie.
He's clearing the bagel out of his throat.
Three-way tie.
Three-way tie, 33%, Gronk, Hernandez, Welker. Split evenly in who
and
will
it could
be
happen.
Who's going to get the most.
I mean, they could all have like nine six catches. Each. Brady goes 27 of 36.
And those are the only three guys that catch them.
The only guys that catch them.
That's right.
That would be a good nitpick Tuesday for John.
You guys obviously did it during PFW, but we'll do it here one final time. Quick thoughts. Who wins it? What's the score?
I think the Patriots win the game 27-17. I think they have too much offense for Jake Locker. It's not a good situation. I thought that Jim Wyatt made a good, obviously it was not necessarily breaking any new ground, but saying how not exactly the way you want to open the season against Tom Brady for Jake Locker. I think that it puts too much pressure on him, and eventually he succumbs and makes some mistakes. I don't, however, think it's going to be easy. I don't think they're going to jump out to a 21-0 lead and coast home. I think that they're going to be sort of in an early struggle where the Titans are playing off their home crowd a little bit, some emotion early in the game, and the Patriots' talent just wears them down and takes over by the end of the game.
Andy?
I'm far more positive than Paul. I think it's going to be 28-13. I do think they're going to play pretty well. I think they're going to get a lead, and that's going to help the defense, help put pressure on Locker. And I don't envision the athletes that we talked about, especially Chris Johnson, I don't envision all these big plays and all that. They may give up yards, but I don't think you're going to see a bunch of 80-yard plays, and I think that's the only way the Titans win is if they hit those big plays.
I've got 30-21 Patriots, and I think the Patriots score late to make it more comfortable than it appears.
So he thinks it's going to be the closest out of all of us.
So you think 23-21?
30-21.
No, but...
23-21 and or roughly
27-21.
You're going to have a very busy Tuesday if that's the case.
I think 27-21, the kick, a field goal, two-possession game, it's over. That's kind of what I'm looking at. All right, thanks for joining us on the Dunkin' Donuts pregame social here on Patriots.com. Good job done by Kevin, by Matt. Thanks to Eric Scalavino for joining us, Jim Wyatt from the Tennessean joining us as well. Enjoy the game. Football's here, baby. We'll be back for the postgame here at the conclusion of Pat's Titans.
This has been the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page. Now, it's game time as the Patriots square off with the Tennessee Titans.
Play action fake by Flacco. Over the middle it goes. It is intercepted by Brandon Spikes at the 35, 40, 45 at the 50 of Baltimore, and out of bounds on the far side of the field.
Be sure to tune into Patriots.com for the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones immediately following tonight's game.
Patriots come hard. He looks, he fires to the right, and it is picked off at the 40. Vincent Wilfork at the 50, at the 45, at the 40. Stand! Feet all the way down to the 30-yard line. Vincent Wilfork.
Log on to Patriots.com all week long for the latest news and information on your favorite team. We look forward to hearing from you next week on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.